been a great disturbance in the force.
I have a very bad feeling about this.
Oh, great adventure. Secret. Jedi craves not these things.
We would be honored if you would join us.
I got a bad feeling about this.
So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first.
Go switch off!
This is the 2B2 podcast. Study and Dave are awesome!
Hey everybody, welcome to 2BT. I am David.
I'm Michael.
And it is officially May the 4th.
When they listen to this, it won't be.
Well, it won't be May the 4th when you listen to this, but whenever it releases. But right now, it is May the 4th. Oh, that is why we are going crazy on the board there. There we go. See if that works out just a little bit more. I was planning on a whole, like intro thing here, and I totally blew it because the levels were going insane just then. So anyways, go ahead and talk again for me real fast.
I'm talking words.
All right. Yeah, we're good. I'm going to bump you down just a wee bit more.
Okay.
All right. I'll adjust it while you're talking later on. So we're, you know, because we're the height of professionality here at all times.
Obviously, because we're doing it while we're recording right, instead of beforehand. Like a true professional.
Yeah, like a true professional. I would have already set everything up and stuff like that while we were actually talking just a second ago.
Well, that's usually what you do, but you were kind enough to come out to my house and bring everything, so it's not all ready to go.
I dig the drive out here, man, and I actually saw that house. There's a house over there for sale, a place over there for sale, like, kind of like right there, like almost to where, like, you know, come to your house and keep going straight and go to your parents' house and you turn right or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just right there before you make the turn, the pavement changes, that place right there, it's like, sale. And yeah. I was like, I wonder what they're asking for that.
It's two houses.
Is it two? I wouldn't be able to afford it then.
I don't know if they're splitting the property. Everybody, this is really interesting, but yeah. No, I don't, right? I don't know if they're willing to split the property or not, but it's a really nice, the one that you saw closest to the road, it's really nice.
Yeah.
I've been in it.
Maybe I could talk Steven into like splitting the cost with me or something that. Whenever he comes over to beat us for this horrible intro that we're doing here.
We could record three times a week.
I know it, right? Y'all get sick and tired of seeing me is what would happen. You'd be like, Dave, go home.
Believe me, there's other people I get sick and tired of seeing on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Not my wife, not my kids. I'm not insinuating that.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't think you were. Other people
some
might
people
have thought.
Were like, who does he see every day? You know, so, no, there's some people.
Yeah.
There's people.
So, just give a little bit of a backstory. If you're wondering why we didn't record last week, and if you can kind of hear my voice is still a little bit scratchy.
Yeah.
I had allergies just like settled in my throat of all things, man. Like it didn't settle in my nose or, you know, sinuses or in my chest or anything like that. It settled in my like throat, and I've just been coughing my head off all day long. This is the best I've sounded like the other day. Whatever I text you on, I guess it was Sunday.
Yeah.
And you said that you had a sardine stomach or something like that.
Yeah,
attack of the sardines.
Sardines got me.
Yeah.
I'm blaming the sardines.
I don't blame you, man. Never trust
fish. See, Paul had been talking. I'd been talking with him, and he started eating sardines. I'm like, well, what do they taste like? Because I've never had a sardine.
Why did he start eating sardines?
For health.
Okay.
Because he doesn't eat a lot of. He doesn't have a really wide variety in what he can eat due to food allergies.
He's gonna get gout.
He could.
So that sardines will give you gout. Like,
well, I don't think he's gonna be eating them. His wife is making him eat them.
Oh, okay.
She buys them. He eats.
She just like shoves them down his throat.
But I was curious. I'm like, you know, living in the spirit of Bourdain, you try new things.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm like, I've never had it. I'm probably not gonna like it. And you know, I didn't really like it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. I would eat it. If I needed to, it's not like it tasted bad. It just didn't. Some people probably love it, you know.
It
kind of goes. Like, I was talking with him about it. How you grow up and what you're kind of exposed to growing up is what you are. It's just normal.
Exactly. Like we're pretty far inland, so we didn't really grow up with
a lot of fish
or seafood
catfish.
And stuff. Catfish, freshwater fish, bass. And stuff like that. Bass, crappie. I never ate any perch. My parents were always like, that's trash fish. You throw that one back. But you catch a bass or a crappie or a catfish and you hold on to those guys. And, you know, there would always be like the big family fish fries and stuff like that or whatnot. all that good stuff. But yeah, man, I wouldn't be able to do sardines. I don't think I could do it. Just,
yeah, they yeah. knocked me out all day Sunday. I don't think it was that. I think it was something else.
Yeah.
And, I was gone. Yeah. I was gone for that day. And, the only good thing out of it is I got to watch, a little bit of TV. I read a lot that day.
Though, yeah. So. Well, there you go. So it is officially May the 4th.
May the 4th be with you.
And May the 4th be with you. Happy Star Wars Day. I always tell everybody this is kind of like my holiday. Like if there is something that was like a national holiday that I would like, this would be the closest thing to a national holiday for me, for the land O' Dave.
But it shouldn't be today.
No, it shouldn't. It should be May 25th is what it should be.
So you get to celebrate it twice.
I will. And then I will be like on May 25th and maybe even May 21st because May 21st is when Empire was released. And, A New Hope, or aka the original Star Wars and Return of the Jedi was May 25th.
Yeah.
Except for one of them was 1977, the other was 1983. So.
Well, I, was gonna start my Star Wars watching last night, and for some reason I got hooked into watching Lincoln, Spielberg's movie Lincoln with Daniel Day Lewis. I was like, I'm just gonna watch a little bit, then I'm gonna turn on Star Wars.
Yeah.
And, I just got sucked into it. That movie is so good. Every single person in that performs is so good. But it's not entirely not Star Wars related because I sent you a screenshot and I'm like, I'd forgotten. Yeah, Adam Driver, Kylo Ren is right there talking with Lincoln.
So who does he play in the movie?
He's like a...
Is it just like a bit part? Like a small part?
It's a bit part. He's in two or three scenes where he's... I think he's a... What do they call the guys that did the... Morse code.
Oh, yeah. A telegraph operator.
He was a telegraph operator or something like that.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. I'll have to, like, that's one of those that I started watching it and I was like, this movie's really long and I'm not going to be able to stop it to go to bed or anything like that. So I was like, I'll watch this later because I could tell that I was getting into it. And I was like, if I'd start this now, I'm going to sit here and watch it and finish it. And it's going to be like 3 o'clock before I go to bed. Yeah, so I'm going to have to like watch it at a later time, but I have not gone back to it since.
It's well worth watching.
It's kind of like Gods and Generals. Have you ever seen Gods and Generals?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Love that movie. It's a great movie, but I've only seen it like twice because it's so long. It's such a grueling
commitment.
Oh yeah. I actually saw that in theaters, man.
Really?
I saw Gods and Generals in theaters. I took a buddy of mine. Like, he was like, I didn't realize how long this movie was going to be. It's like one of the only few movies.
Well, it was a long war.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah, exactly. It's one of the only few movies that I went to that's actually had like an intermission in it that lets you get up and go walk around and take a pee. Apparently, I guess Avengers Endgame needs that or something like
that.
Yeah. It's like 3 hours.
I hear it's awesome.
I haven't either. I'll be honest, man. I'm kind of marveled out right now. And it's nothing against Avengers Endgame or anything like that. I will see it, but it'll probably be whenever it comes out on Amazon digital to rent or whatever, because that's where the bulk of my movie watching comes from nowadays.
Well, Sunday when I was sick, I tried to watch Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just didn't feel it for some reason, and I'll go back into it another day and watch it, but I didn't.
Well,
I'm not dissing it. I enjoyed all the other Marvel movies I've seen. And I like the funny stuff.
And I like Taika Waititi, the director.
The whole thing was just.
It tries to play a joke at times where it should be serious. And it kind of gets on my nerves a little bit.
Cause I enjoyed the other.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly.
Thor movie.
Yeah. That's the same. I actually like Dark World also.
Yeah. Dark World.
Especially
yeah.
because it deals with the dark elves and it actually deals with a little bit of the mythology of the dark elves of them being able to go vapor and stuff like that. It's really cool. I was like, this is awesome, man.
I made it to where Odin turned into sparkle stardust and floated out over the ocean.
Yeah.
That's when I was like, and part of it was I was sick. I just didn't have an attention span. I could watch something for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Then I'd pause it and close my eyes and
start up some YouTube videos or whatever. That's one of a good sitcom, like The Office is good.
Cause
that way, like something that you've seen a lot of times, like The Office, for me, that would be The Office and Parks and Rec. Like I freaking love Parks and Rec. That's probably one of my favorite sitcoms of all time.
I did find a Scottish TV show and did you recommend one called Still Willing?
I think you and I started watching it one day at my house.
The two old guys. I watched the first episode all the way through, and I was like, oh, my God, this is really good.
Yeah.
And I said, I can't watch anymore because my wife was gone that day, and I was like, she's going to like this.
Yeah. I remember you and I think you and I actually started watching it at my house.
And couldn't understand hardly anything they were saying. I had to have the subtitles on.
Yeah, it's good times. But go kind of
Back to May the 4th.
Go back to May the 4th and Star Wars and stuff like that. It's a very somber May the 4th with the, we lost Peter Mayhew this past week.
Yep. Punch it, Chewie.
Yeah, punch it, Chewie. That, and that's what, that's my, my thing that I, there's two things that I say whenever I'm on the airplane and we're, we pull up to the launching pad or whatever to the end of the runway, and you sit there and you do that stop and you pause and you hear the engines rev up and you get ready to start rolling down the runway. And I always say, punch it, Chewie. And then as we start moving, you can feel it going along. And mm-hmm. It's like, I always get a little bit antsy because I'm like, okay, man, we got to be getting close to the end of the runway. We got to get some more speed. Yeah, we got to get this thing in the air. It's like, kick this pig. And that's my two little sayings. And it's like, I have like these rituals, like whenever flying, because I don't mind flying. I get nervous at takeoff and landing. But other than that, I'm okay with flying. I used to be deathly afraid of it. It was one of those things where it's like, I'd walk up to it and then you'd see the door to the aircraft and it's just like almost like panic would set in. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be in this metal tube at 36,000 feet or whatever. But now it's like, it's kind of like, I won't say it's old hack. I still get a little bit of a nerve type thing or whatnot, but I have these rituals that I do whenever I go fly somewhere. Like, all my bags have the tags on them from my last trip, and so those tags don't get ripped off until I hand my bag over to the person that's taking it to put the new tag on it. Mm-hmm. That's the ritual. And then this last time, whenever I was going to Chicago, my mom reached down and ripped my tag off. I was like, no. I was like, what are you doing? That's the ritual. You can't do that. That's my good luck. That's what I do. And she's like, just kind of looked at me like weird. And she's like, what the hell type of person did we raise? But anyways,
Peter Mayhew's departed. I guess he'd been ill.
He had been ill, and he actually missed a day of celebration because of his illness. I think he was there on Thursday, and I think it was Friday at celebration that he missed because of a sickness. And so I don't know if it was he was 74, so it's not like he was spring chicken or anything like that. And you know, he's 7'3" or 7'5" or something like that. I always look at, you know, as tall people, the bigger people as like the big dogs. The big dogs don't, you know, like a Great Dane only lives for like 7 to 8 years or something like that. You know, I always kind of look at it like that. They don't have a long time span because their body breaks down quicker, man. Like, even like knees and hips and everything like that. Yeah. You know, Peter walked around with a cane and he was wheelchair ridden for a while or whatever. And that was because, you know, your knees and your hips start breaking down because with being so tall, you have a lot of weight on your frame.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing to go is the knees and hips and things like that.
So the original core group, two are now gone.
Three.
Three.
Kenny Baker.
Okay. I was thinking of the people you see.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Kenny Baker.
I always say like out of like the big six or you could even say the big seven because David Prowse is Darth Vader. Harrison, Mark, Carrie, Anthony Daniels and Kenny Baker.
Kenny Baker. Yeah.
So I guess it'd be six. So
six.
And yeah. And Lando. I'm sorry. And Peter Mayhew. So that'd be seven.
I guess you could add Lando in there.
Yeah. But I wouldn't not add him in there, but like, I mean, he was only in two movies out of the first original three.
Yeah.
There's like a constant seven people that are in the movie.
Yeah.
That's and like true. I said, it's Peter, Carrie, Harrison, Mark, Kenny, Anthony, and David. So, and I mean, like, it's sad. I kind of know things are coming up. Like I saw him at Celebration. He looked really bad at Celebration. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh man. But you know, it's awful. It's a sad day. You know, the mighty Chewbacca has finally fallen. And I mean, Chewbacca will still go on with Jonas Satupo or however you pronounce his name or whatnot. But you know,
but he set the standard.
Yeah.
Oh, I was God, watching yeah. all day long. I was like, I don't know how you act in a suit like that, but he does definitely is acting.
Oh, yeah.
He's definitely conveying all kinds of emotion and.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of a combination of him. I mean, he did a lot of it himself, but then the magic had been burnt with his sound effects and things like that. giving, you know, life to the Wookiee. Same thing with R2-D2 and the sounds that R2 would make.
I wonder, is there clips of from the actual, when they're shooting the scene?
Oh, yeah.
Before they add in the
Wookiee roar and stuff? Oh, yeah. Have you not ever seen those?
No.
It's weird. Because especially there's one, I'll have to look it up. I'll see if I can find one real fast. There's one that's Harrison or Han and Chewie. They're in the control center right after they get to the Death Star, and they're talking about going and getting the princess out of the cell block 1138.
Mm-hmm.
And he says something, and he's like, "Are you mad?" it's just like really weird, dude. It's
wow.
Great. I'll see if I can find one real fast. I don't know, like, I don't know if I'll be able to or not, but yeah. Oh nope, never mind. I don't have signal, so. Yeah, that's the good thing about coming out here. I come out here and
my phone can reach you.
Yeah, it's like, no, you can't talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
What? But, man, we got a lot of stuff to go over.
We do.
We do.
Where do you want to start?
Where do you want to start at? You know what? I was going to finish. I realized when I was listening to our last episode that you'd asked me a question and I never finished answering it.
That's right, about the different cities.
The different cities that I've been to for Celebration and relating them to places in Star Wars.
And you did finish Chicago.
I did finish Chicago, and I almost kind of want to switch Chicago and Anaheim. And I like calling it Anaheim because, like, whenever you start calling places like Nibelheim and stuff like that, it's spelled the same.
Yeah.
Anaheim. It's not Anaheim. It's Anaheim.
Okay, I'll go with it.
So, like, anyways, oh, dude, I totally got something to, I'll tell you in a second. Well, no, I'll go ahead and do it. So, May the 4th, right?
Yeah.
There's also Revenge of the 5th. So, I was going to start trying to, like.
It would also work with Revenge of the 6th.
Yeah, it would. Revenge of the 6th would work great also. It's kind of fun to have May the 4th and Revenge of the 5th, you know. But I like doing a thing. It's my new thing that I'm trying to launch and get it off the ground. So I want other people to join in with me. Whenever somebody says, "Hey, May the 4th be with you," be like, "What did you say to me? I don't celebrate May the 4th. I'm dark side. So I side with Revenge of the 5th.
Oh, okay.
So like, now you offended. Have to start. Yeah. So now you have to start saying, now you can't say May the 4th be with you anymore. You have to say Happy Holidays.
Happy Holidays. Yeah.
Yeah, it's my new movement. So I'm going to try to get that launched.
You're dark side.
No, nah, I'm actually more
you're
light
Luke
side.
Boy,
I am a Luke boy, man. Like, my hot toys at the house is it all, you know, that's the only ones that have hot toys of. Well, besides the short trooper, just because they're like super cool looking. But, anyways, so going back to answering the question, I was listening to that episode and I was like, man, we totally got sidetracked and never did finish up. I would say, Orlando is probably like, I would say Orlando is indoor. Even though it's not a city, it's indoor.
Okay.
Because it's just so humid.
Oh, definitely.
And of course, there's Disney World there.
Mm-hmm.
So the Ewoks would be like Mickey Mouse and all the characters granted, like I said, and I guess like once you get outside of like Orlando proper and like you're going out to Disney World or whatever, there's like a lot of trees all over the place and stuff. So that would make sense too. So,
yeah.
So Orlando is indoor.
Gotcha.
And I think I'm going to say, Anaheim is a really crappy Bespin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like it's Bespin because, you know, it's kind of orange. It looks like it'd be like super smoggy around Bespin. Like,
yeah,
it looks like you wouldn't be able to go outside without like a respirator on.
Smog city. And
stuff. Yeah. So that's Anaheim city. Or Anaheim. Sorry. Yeah. I even just call it Anaheim just saying. So I'm totally two movements. So we got to start saying Anaheim. And nope, sorry.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Yeah.
Oh, what could it be instead of holidays?
I don't know.
That's one we're going to have to think on. So let's put a pin in that one and we'll stick it on the wall and we'll come up with something. We probably won't come up with anything. I was going to say it'll probably be next year. Next year, May the 4th, we'll come up with something.
Yeah.
But it'll probably be. We'll probably forget about it by then.
It needs to simmer for a bit.
Exactly.
I'm sure something will come up.
So what do you want to talk about first? I know we got a lot. Like I said, we got Game of Thrones. We've got,
let's finish up with Game of Thrones because
All right.
Star Wars Celebration you went to. We went an entire episode. We talked a little bit about The Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah.
And then the whole Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, yeah.
Title release.
Dude.
Reveal. And then the trailer, the teaser trailer dropped. And
yeah.
So much going on.
That teaser trailer, man, that's probably, okay, like, I just want to say, and I think I might have touched on this the last time. There is nothing like, even just standing in line to get into the show store, it was like so quiet. You could hear a pin drop whenever the trailer released, because everybody was like watching it on the TVs, watching it on their phone. And it's like a collective, just like, I think I told this last time. It's like, I get chill while I was talking about it, because it's, everybody is there all for the same reason. And then you hear the music. And the music cues up, and it's Han and Leia's theme, the ba, ba, da, da, ba. You know, it's like super stylized. And it's straight up just for the trailer, but it kind of makes it like, I always try to like relate the music to certain things. Like what is, are they trying to tell us something with the music? Mm-hmm. Are they just using this because it sounded like some of the trailer music that they'd use for maybe like The Last Jedi or The Last Jedi or The Force Awakens. I couldn't think of the blast name.
Uh-oh.
It does kind of, sorry. It kind of sounds like music that they'd use for that. So it might just be recycled music.
True.
But I always like to try to think that maybe they're giving us a little bit of a hint of something mm-hmm. with the music. But then again, they could have just been playing the Han and Leia theme, because Kylo Ren's also in the shot there at the time, because you don't really see him. You see his hands, or what you think is him flying the TIE
Interceptor. Is that him?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's him.
A couple of people I've seen brought up the question, well, why isn't he firing on her?
And that's a good question. Like, I think he's after her in that scene, not to like
kill
or destroy. I think it's more of like a capture and submit, to try to turn her to his side, because I think, and that's one thing, and I can't take credit for this. Like, I've heard somebody else talking about this, the Rise of Skywalker, like the meaning of the title.
Yeah. I've heard of some interesting, one really especially interesting theory that I'll give you in a minute.
Okay. And it might be the same theory.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it actual sect of the Jedi being called the form of the Force users being called Skywalker?
Yes, because the last movie was The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
That would have been
the final
Luke.
One. Yeah.
Luke was the last Jedi.
Yeah.
If he is truly gone.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be showing back about a Force ghost or memory. And the people coming up would be
Skywalkers. Yeah. Skywalkers, yeah. Which, it kind of makes me, I love that theory. It's freaking awesome. And it makes sense whenever you start thinking about it. Like, I really dig that theory.
Cause she's also packing heat.
Oh yeah. She's got the Skywalker saber. That is Luke's saber. They've come out and said that is Luke's saber. And she even, I think everybody confirmed that that's Luke's saber, that she was able to take it. And if you look at it, you zoom in really close on it, and it's got like a band around it, and it actually looks like it's shorter. Like, they actually cut it down like she might have cut the two. Everything gets repaired in this movie, I think. Like, you got Kylo's helmet gets welded back together. Yeah. and Luke's saber gets welded back together, I guess,
They got Gendry to do it.
Right? Yeah. That's one thing that's bothering me, though, is I really wish they would have had her make her own lightsaber. I really wish that they, cause.
Well, maybe she's involved in the reconstruction. She had to have been.
It's possible. Yeah. Cause, I mean, like they say, and I think it was even mentioned in Clone Wars, the TV series, that they said that, which is, they took off of freaking Netflix, by the way. I was trying to watch some Clone Wars yesterday, cause there's some really cool episodes on there, and they took it down. I guess it's been taken down because the Disney streaming app comes out in November or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was
the? Oh, well, reconstruction of the lightsaber.
Okay. Yeah. The reconstruction of the lightsaber, like, it even mentions in like Clone Wars for you to become like a Jedi. And I guess, you know, that again, that's Jediism. Whereas I guess this would be hers. Like, if the theory is true, this would be Skywalker. So I don't know if that would be the true test of a Skywalker form of Jedi to construct your own lightsaber.
And I guess the knowledge of that could have come through the books she has?
The books or whatever, because, I mean, like, there's got to be some sort of text because Luke was able to do it.
And where do you think she is? What planet do you think that is? Because it could be a couple.
It's back in Jordan. They went back to Jordan to film it. So I'm guessing that they're going to say that it's Jakku.
Okay.
But I really hope it's Tatooine. I really hope it's Tatooine.
It would be nice.
It might just be the OT fanboy in me, but I would love to get, instead of just like characters, like, let's just throw in a couple of aliens that we've seen before and just one planet that we've seen before. I would love for that planet to be Tatooine there, man. Like, it would just be cool to see them back at Tatooine just once, or even any other planet. Hell, they can go to Coruscant for all I care, you know? Excuse me.
So we get that. And that one opening clip, which is, it's about half of the teaser trailer, the beginning of it. Yeah. You hear the breathing and then you see her.
Have you noticed all the trailers start with heavy breathing?
Heavy breathing, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Finn in the first one, Rey in the second one, and Rey in the third one. So, yeah. Yeah. Then, they all open with heavy breathing.
There's a theme running through it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's some sort of theme going with it. And the only thing that bugged me about the teaser was I didn't care for the slow motion.
Oh.
Yeah. There's not much slow motion in Star Wars. Like, there is, like, the only time I can think of slow motion in Star Wars is in the Force Cave on Dagobah, whenever
I was going to say that. I noticed that when I was rewatching it today. I was like, yep, there you go. That's about the only time I can think of it.
That's the only time I can think of it. I'm sure somebody out there is pulling out their hair going, like, you're wrong, Dave.
Like, it would have been cool back when Yoda in, like, Revenge of the Sith was bouncing around on the walls to see him do a slow motion move or something. But that's not part of what they've done.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's a cool shot, so I can't really say anything bad about it.
Such a cool
shot. I don't hate it, but it does kind of, like, rub me just a little bit going, like, that's not Star Wars, JJ. What are you doing? Quit. But, yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, but that was enough. That was enough. That was like the big reward for waiting for anything for me. And then everything after that was just a bonus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't really understand what I was seeing for most of it.
Man, all I got to say is like the Lando flying the Falcon and laughing is one of the greatest things in the world. Of course,
that just,
like,
makes a smile come across your face.
Oh, dude, yeah. I can't think about that trailer without getting chill bumps, as you can see right there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think about it just because of the experience that I had. Like, even like getting, like I said, even standing in line, getting to watch it, like, you see Lando come on with the laughing, everybody starts going crazy, and then it goes quiet again. And then you hear the Emperor laugh and everybody's going crazy and screaming. And then it, like, the star and the wars parts and it says the Rise of Skywalker and everybody just freaked out so much, dude.
Such a good name. And, you know, JJ Abrams was asked about that and he gave an answer that I'm not going to try to repeat because I don't really understand his answer.
Oh, yeah.
But, I'm very curious about everything, that every little bit in it was so cool.
I've seen some people that they weren't too happy with the name, like, because, you know, the others have been, you know, just going all the way back, you know, A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, and The Phantom Menace, you know, all the way back. I think people are throwing a fit because I don't want to say they're throwing a fit, but I know some people are kind of about the name because it actually has Skywalker in the name of it or whatever. Because others have just been, you know, kind of stating almost like what the movie is, you know, like it's like, hey, this is the Return of the Jedi. Luke comes back. He's now a Jedi and he whoops everybody's ass. Yeah. Empire Strikes Back. Guess what? Empire comes in, strikes back and wins. The Phantom Menace. It was like the building of Darth Sidious, you know, all like the spoiler alert, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't know that the Chancellor was Emperor Palpatine,
you should have paid closer attention 20-something years ago.
You probably wouldn't be listening to us if that was the case.
And then another interesting person pointed out that we've always said it's the Skywalker trilogy, or not trilogy anymore, it's a set of movies. The franchise is about the Skywalker.
Yeah.
Skywalker's family, Darth and, you know, Anakin. Anakin becoming Darth Vader and then the children and then fighting and this person said it's not about them. It's about Palpatine. It's about Darth Sidious.
Yeah.
Because even in the comic books now, how did Anakin get born? It's a mystery. He was immaculately conceived.
Yeah.
The Force. Well, I guess in the comic book series, recently, you know, Palpatine had a hand in it.
Yeah. It was like either Palpatine or Darth Plagueis.
Yeah.
Like the Darth Plagueis book is actually pretty good.
They're even saying some people are saying, well, maybe Palpatine is Darth Plagueis.
Yeah. Well, and like they said that, you know, in, I think it's Revenge of the Sith where he says like, and these things you cannot learn from a Jedi, you know, or whatever, talking about eternal life or whatever. Have you ever heard the stories of Darth Plagueis, the wise? You know, like, and I think that's, you know, they're sitting at the opera or whatever. And it's actually a really cool scene in the movie or whatnot. I love Revenge of the Sith. Like, yeah. I actually put it up there with the original trilogy for that one. Everybody's saying he learned the secret to everlasting life from Darth Plagueis and then killed Darth Plagueis. It's not necessarily how it happened in the book, but the Darth Plagueis book, but the Darth Plagueis book is I think this Legends now. I think that came out before the Disney acquisition. It was good. But I don't know. I'm trying to remember when that book came out now. I don't know if it came out before or after the acquisition, because I know that I got a little bit kind of thrown off because it gave out Palpatine's name as Sheev. And I was like, that's just such a lame name.
Mm-hmm.
Sheev Palpatine. Sheev. Come here, Sheev.
Yeah. Like,
I don't know. Anyways.
But, you know, okay. Then and all this is a speculation and rumor. Oh, yeah. Is he actually back? Maybe not. Could be a hologram. Could it be clones of himself?
It's not a clone. I hope it's not a clone. Clone to me goes to sci-fi.
His force ghost.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be a force ghost.
Could be a force ghost. Could be, and this is the crazy one floating around because there's been rumors for a long time that Matt Smith is in this final movie.
Oh, yeah.
Bouncing around, and then this denied, and then like it'll get leaked. It got leaked on a British website that he was in it.
Really?
Like when they were listing cast.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are saying, well, he might be possessed.
Oh, okay.
By the spirit of Palpatine.
Well, I do know that they brought Ian McDiarmid back to do Palpatine work. Like that got confirmed, even though you don't see him on the trailer or anything like that. Like you just hear the laugh, and the laugh is,
yeah,
just sells it all. I'm not even going to try to do it. Like,
no,
I wouldn't make it legal. Anyways, but yeah, dude, it like, oh, dude, yeah. I'm
well,
stoked.
Then, what else was there? The whole, I just blanked on something.
I feel like we need to pause it and watch the trailer again real fast.
Let's set it up and we'll listen to it.
Okay, sounds good to me.
And pause it. I can do it right here with my.
No, there we go. That's the right one.
Okay. You hit record.
We're back on pause.
Let's watch it again, Dave. You want to watch the trailer again?
We're professionals, man.
I should have put it on the TV.
I should have. You know, I actually thought about that. I was going to say, like, you know, you got a coffee table in there, man. We can set this stuff in here. We could just hold the microphones in our hand and we could watch Star Wars while we record it.
We could do that.
Yeah. We got to do that sometime for sure.
Well.
But anyways, all right. So let's take this off pause again one more time. And let's do this. Well, that was a dry run. We were testing our cred here. Okay. So
let's do it.
There it goes. Now it's not going to play.
No,
oh,
well,
you should
play.
Use your Kindle instead. No,
just I can. You're fine. Lucasfilm, heavy breathing. And there she is. Oh. Oh, we're being thwarted on every.
Papa. Oh.
Let's okay. We're going to go back again.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
the Papa.
Yeah.
Michael Papa was calling.
Yeah,
okay, here we go again. One more time. Take three. Take three.
We are professionals, Dave. Not at all.
The heavy breathing into Lucasfilm. There we go. Okay. The shot is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope that's Tatooine, dude. I really want that to be Tatooine. It'll probably be Jakku since they
were
Jordan.
I wouldn't be surprised, though, because...
But I really want...
That's not all we know.
Oh, yeah. Dude, like I said just a minute ago...
A thousand generations live in you now.
I want Mark Hamill to narrate my life.
Mm-hmm.
But this is your fight.
Every generation has a legend. I love that. That's a great tagline. I hope they put that on the
poster. Help me remember, he said, we've passed on all we know. I want to go back to that.
This, I love this build right here with the music.
You're seeing nothing.
The TIE Fighter. The build with the music and the sound of the TIE Fighter is just great. And then... Still building. Oh, it kills me with the music.
I almost lost it right there when she jumped.
Kills me with the music, man. Like, I love the big sweeping crescendo. Boom. Yeah.
Whoever built this trailer is awesome.
With the speeder bikes. It almost kind of looks like a Mad Max meets Star Wars right there, almost. Well, it looks like the Death Star, and I'm hoping that's maybe Endor or Yavin.
No one's ever really gone.
Yeah.
And that I almost lost it in two moments. I almost lost it when I saw her do that backwards flip.
Oh, yeah.
Onto the top. Like, I'm assuming she's going to land on the TIE Fighter and do something wicked with the lightsaber.
I wonder if she's going to land on top of it, or she's like, just she ignited it before she took off. I wonder if she's going to like maybe lop off one of the wings as she's flipping over or something like that. Stab it down through the cockpit or whatever. I guess
we'll see in a few months.
Yeah.
There's that part and then that end part when they did the slow fade into the name Rise of Skywalker. Yeah. I was like, oh my God.
Dude, that killed me. That killed me. Like everybody like, like I'm standing in line with two strangers that I've been talking to for the past like 45 minutes or whatever. And I'm like grabbing them, shaking them, going like the Rise of Skywalker, dude. And they're like, oh my God, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
Like, dude, yeah, it was just great.
And then hearing his voice over there, and we're assuming he's a Force ghost.
Yeah. We're assuming.
Unless there's an explanation that about what happened at the end of the other one. But that it mirrored so much when Ben.
Oh, yeah.
Faded into the Force. Or became one with the Force.
Oh, yeah. And see, I've often wondered, okay, and just real fast, just going back on the music thing, and I was talking about the music thing earlier, and about like the little, I feel like the music almost gives us, it probably doesn't tell us anything, but I feel like the music gives us little clues with the Han and Leia theme. And they could have just gone with the Han and Leia theme because, like I said, like it has that great buildup of the strings, the really tight, and then all of a sudden it just crescendos into the big, booming, sweeping overture of, I don't know if you call it this overture, but anyways, you know what I'm talking about. The big, booming, sweeping theme of Han, and I'm sitting here talking to you.
No,
like
yeah,
I'm,
you're directing, you're conducting. Orchestra
stuff like that, like, we need a video camera.
You need to put a little baton in your hand.
Right? This big, booming, sweeping, song of the theme of Han and Leia, and like, it just works so well with it. But yet, at the end, if you listen at the very end, at the very, very end, after he does this little laugh, it does a bum, 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 bum. It almost sounds like it's a little bit of the Kylo Ren theme there.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just kind of curious if that's like another, I don't know for sure. I haven't really gone back. I'm not as familiar with the music from The Last Jedi and The Force Awakens as what I am with the original trilogy. Like you play Han and Leia's theme. I got it. Oh, hey, you scared me. I didn't
snuck up on you. Hey, Delilah.
Did you hear my snap just a second ago? Can you snap?
Lila, can you sing Star Wars? How does Star Wars go? Remember this morning when we started Star Wars and I said, you are a good girl?
Yeah.
I was talking over you. I'm bad dad.
All right.
I said, you're such a good girl today. And she goes, Star Wars girl. Star Wars girl.
You need a Star Wars shirt. Do you have a Star Wars shirt on?
Not today.
Not today.
Say, I have a Rey shirt.
Oh, okay.
Because Rey's cool.
Rey is cool. Do you like Rey? You went as Rey for Halloween, didn't you?
Yes.
Do you want to go?
No.
Yeah, let's not touch the... You can touch the mixer, just don't touch the knobs on the mixer.
Where do you want to go?
Get apples and chicken and bananas and magic milk?
Hey, let's pause this so I can feed my kid.
All right. I went ahead and took us off pause.
So. Yeah. Yeah, that's live. That's my real life. And yeah. I jump, and she says jump, and I say how high.
Say how high, yeah.
And she wanted apples and chicken. Now she's eating apples and chicken. Back to Star Wars for a few minutes while she's focused on that. Oh, I'm sure she'll come join us again. We'll get her to do Star Wars again and actually get her on the microphone.
We'll get a microphone in front of her. So,
what were we talking about?
I can't remember.
Let's go back to Mark Hamill's. We're talking about Mark Hamill probably going to be a Force Ghost.
Yeah.
And I've got a wish list.
Okay, let's see your wish list.
He says we
have
passed. And some people said, well, that doesn't necessarily mean he was telling that to Rey. Okay, I'm thinking if I'm going to, my money's on that he is talking to Rey.
Yeah, I can guarantee you he's talking to Rey in that. And that could just be something that they recorded for the trailer.
And it could be. It might not even be in the movie. You're right.
Yeah, but
they are notorious for doing misdirection.
Yeah, exactly. But I have a feeling that's put there for a reason. Like, it's probably in the movie. That's pretty pivotal dialogue.
It really is, and no one's ever really gone.
Yeah.
And that's when Palpatine laughs.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, doesn't he tells, I think it's... He tells Leia in The Last Jedi, nobody's ever really gone, right? Or something like that?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's because he tells her, like, I can't save him.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Or something like that. And she says, I know. And then he gives her the dice. And I think that's whenever he tells her, nobody's ever really gone. And yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. I'll have to go back. Shoot. Shucks, I'll have to rewatch The Last Jedi. Oh, no.
Oh, poor you.
Poor me. I know that some people out there, movie. Somebody out there is going like, oh, my God. Don't watch The Last Jedi, Dave. Just don't do it.
Well, my dream is that.
Yeah, let's hear your wish list. Let's hear the Sparky wish list.
Luke. Mark.
Yeah, you can call Luke. Him Mark. We're buddies, man. We're
Luke
we're
both Luke buddies with returned Mark, so. And did yeah. some of the kind of like with. I was watching Star Wars today.
Yeah.
I'm on the third one right now and of the original trilogy.
Oh,
and, you know, the Force Ghost showing up and to talk to Luke when it's Ben and Yoda. How cool would it be to see Yoda?
Oh, yeah.
Luke.
And Obi-Wan.
And, you know, there was rumors about how they were starting filming of... the Obi-Wan movie.
Yeah.
What if all those rumors were really surrounded around him showing up to do a Force Ghost recording to be there?
That would be freaking awesome. Now, if they actually took Ewan McGregor and made him look like old Alec Guinness or whatever, that would be cool. Or even if they just did a CGI Alec Guinness or whatever, that would be really cool. Like what they did with Tarkin and Rogue One.
Yeah.
And in fact, it would probably even look better than the Tarkin in Rogue One. Like, I thought the Tarkin in Rogue One looked great. He looked a little bit plasticky in places or whatever, but it didn't take me out of the movie.
No.
I was still just in awe the entire time that I saw, I'm going to watch Rogue One tonight. Anyways.
You got a lot to watch, dude.
I do, man. I got a lot.
Well, doing it, a CGI, Alec Guinness.
Yeah.
Would be a little bit easier on the eye because
it's got that faded. The faded blue.
Faded blue screen.
Yeah, exactly. And like, there's a whole theory, out there, like, roaming around, and it goes back a long time, and I'm sure just about everybody's heard it, but they were talking about with, Obi-Wan, if you watch the movies and stuff like that in A New Hope, he's just a disembodied voice, you know,
mm-hmm.
Run, Luke, run. And remember, the Force will be with you always.
I laughed today when he first was in the X-Wing, Luke was in the X-Wing and he hears Ben's first talk and he kind of like, detaches his headset. He's like, who is this? What is going on here?
Luke, you turned off your targeting computer. What's wrong? Nothing.
Nothing.
No, I know exactly what you're talking. Sorry, I don't mean to talk over you there, but yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Cause he taps on the earpiece. He's like, what the hell's going on? But then you don't actually physically see
right.
Force Ghost of Ben until Hoth, whenever he's mm-hmm. like there in the, he's, you will go to the Dagobah system. There you will learn from Yoda, the Jedi Master who instructed me. Ben! Yeah. And then even later you see him on Dagobah and he's like, you can see through him and stuff like that or whatever, but he's becoming even more clearer.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in Return of the Jedi, he's almost, I wouldn't say a solid entity, like you can see through him in Return of the Jedi, but he's like almost a solid entity.
Mm-hmm.
And then like with Yoda in The Last Jedi, I might be mistaken here, but if I can't remember, you couldn't see through Yoda in The Last Jedi.
Well, like, it's like,
cause he even hit Luke with his Kane with his gimmer stick.
Well, right before he got, I don't know if he even, I don't know if what Vader did with his lightsaber even what happened. I think Obi-Wan just looks like right before the lightsaber even hits him, he just vanishes.
He vanishes. Yeah, he disappears.
And he said, one with the force. Strike me down and I'll become more powerful than you can even imagine. Oh, yeah. And it's like over time they're getting more and more powerful in this other plane that they're existing on. Oh, it's just all my guessing.
Exactly. No, and it's good. It's,
cause you're right. The robot Yoda in The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
He was very clear.
He was very clear, very solid, very corporeal because he even, like I said, he even hit Luke with his gimmer stick. So yeah, if I remember right, you can't see through him. So it seems like the Force ghosts are almost becoming more and more stronger. Now in the old EU, the legends, Force ghosts could only stick around for so long, and each time that they used it, they were using up a little bit of their power, and eventually they would just dwindle away into nothing.
Yeah, okay.
But even a cutscene in Revenge of the Sith, you can watch Revenge of the Sith, and there at the end of it, he's like, I've heard from an old friend or whatever, or I think Yoda and Obi-Wan are walking and talking, and they say, you know, they're talking about what are they going to do with the kids and all like this type of stuff, and then he says something about like, well, I've got something to teach you. An old friend has contacted me or something like that. I can't remember the exact wording from it. But anyways, it's basically he was, and there's a cut scene where he starts talking to Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan gets like super excited because he's talking to Qui-Gon, his old master again. Mm-hmm. Like Qui-Gon's the one who found out how to not necessarily come back, but come back and get in touch with former Jedi using the Force or whatever. So yeah, it's really interesting. Concept, and I dig it. Like I like your train of thought that you're going with that, man.
I won't be disappointed if it doesn't happen.
I won't be disappointed, but like I really hope that they do something. I would love to see, like you said, Luke, Force Ghost Obi-Wan, and Force Ghost Yoda all together in like a scene or whatever, and maybe even Force Ghost Anakin. Who knows, man?
Yeah, that's another thing I was thinking, and maybe not him showing up to Rey.
Yeah,
maybe Force Ghost Anakin shows up to see Kylo.
Oh yeah, that would be cool. Maybe it's like him talking, hey, don't go down the path that I did. But then again, even Kylo even mentions, and this is what kind of lends a little bit of credence to that theory of the Skywalker sect of the Jedi, because even in the Last Jedi, he mentions, you know, we got to kill it, we got to destroy everything or whatever, destroy the Sith, destroy the Jedi is what Kylo even says, because so that to me says that he's not a Sith. He's just a different, maybe he's even a different form of Jedi. Maybe just a gray Jedi or something like that or whatever. Maybe he's walking the boundaries between the two, the dark side and the light side.
But he wants the power.
But he wants the power of both, maybe. I mean, who knows? So it's cool. It's fun to speculate on, man. Like, it's one of those things that it's like, I'm stoked. I can't tell at this point in time what I'm probably more excited for Rise of Skywalker than what I am of The Mandalorian, only because they didn't release any of The Mandalorian stuff onto YouTube, and I can't go and watch it every day like what I do with the Rise of Skywalker trailer.
Yeah.
You know, but with the Rise of Skywalker trailer, I can just pop that up, play it, and watch it and be like, oh my goodness, this is so awesome. Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
And how cool is it that they were able to use footage of Carrie Fisher,
that
hug that she's giving Rey.
Yeah.
And then there's something about the medal.
Yeah.
Whoever's medal that is being shown to somebody or given to somebody.
Yeah. It makes me wonder if it's Han's or if it's Luke's.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's definitely the Battle of Yavin medal.
Yeah.
And so that makes me wonder if they're on Yavin 4, the moon of Yavin, where that Death Star wreckage, cause that's clearly Death Star wreckage. Now that everybody's like, well, we can't tell for sure. And I'm like, that's Death Star wreckage.
My
dude, that's
immediate
the
reaction
dish.
Was that it was
that.
Now, is it, like an old Death Star wreckage? Is it going to be something new? Cause the way the ocean looks, the sea looks, it looks like there'd been an impact in the,
yeah,
been like a tsunami was
happen. And see, that's what I tell everybody. I'm like, they're like, well, you know, both like Endor and where the rebel base on Yavin was, where both like super forested. And I'm like, well, you think of an impact the size of something from the Death Star. Like the Death Star was huge. It's planet size. In fact, they said that's no moon. That's the space station. They thought it was a moon at first. It was a moon size space station. So you're talking giant flaming chunks of metal falling out of the sky. It would have a cataclysmic, life-altering, climate-altering impact on a planet.
That and we've been reading about asteroids and comets and stuff like that lately. So,
it
would be a huge
It could easily cause an impact like that, decimate the forest, and basically cause an ocean, because it would generate more than likely so much heat from the impact, from the impaction. Is that a word? From the impact?
Works for me.
Yeah, from the impact, that it would probably melt the polar ice caps and cause oceans and things like that.
Yeah.
So that, to me, like that, it's gotta be, it's one of two places. It's either Yavin 4 or it's the forest moon of Endor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that it's gotta be one of those two places. I'm hoping at least. And it could be another moon of Yavin, because Yavin's another big, I think it's like a gas giant or something like that.
Oh yeah.
And it's got a bunch of moons that circle it, kind of like where Endor is. Because technically it's the forest moon of Endor. So Endor is like another giant planet, and it's one of the moons is circling around it or whatever. So yeah, that's my theories on them.
It's just so loaded with stuff. Yeah. And
it's one of those that you gotta, like, I'm sitting here trying to talk about it and I keep trying to think about it. And I'm like, man, it's just, it does. It has a lot. It's a very short trailer. But what they do show you is quite a bit, and you're like, okay, so like Rey's got a hood on her thing now and it's all white. So obviously it's trying to portray her as the good guy, good side. Yeah. Whereas, you know, Kylo, it shows his black gloves, but you never see him, but it does show him welding his helmet back together with those red veins or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying welding because it looks like a TIG welder, like a Heliarc style welding system or something like that. So, you know, I'm stoked. I'm ready. And then I'm also not ready at the same time, because I don't want it to end.
Nah.
And like, pretty sure at the end of that movie, I'm just going to be a ball of emotions. I'm probably bawling my eyes out.
I'm going to be able to talk. We'll just ride home in silence. We'll just
have to sit there in the movie theater for 2 hours afterwards while I gather the courage to get up and walk out from whatever. But yeah, man, it's
that's like a 2 minute clip, and it shows so much and raises so many questions.
Yeah.
About what's going to happen there. And then today, the Lucasfilm books announced their list of upcoming stuff leading into
the Rise of Skywalker.
Okay. And one of the books, and the name escapes me right now, I could look it up, is going to be following in the aftermath of Last Jedi, Leia, Poe, I think it said even Rey and Finn.
Okay.
Trying to rebuild.
Oh, the Resistance.
The Resistance. Okay. Leading up. So hopefully we'll get some good info leading into that. And it's supposed to be coming out. There's comic books have been slated to be released.
Yeah.
You know how they do the young adult tie-ins and all that.
The young adult novels, they've got all sorts of book tie-ins and comic tie-ins and things like that. I dig what they do with that. It is a lot of try to take in right before the movie comes out and stuff like that. So I'm hoping, like, I'm guessing they'll probably start releasing those soon, since we're already in May now. So I would assume that those would probably start dropping in June. I know I did a couple. There was supposed to have been, they've done that, you know, with Force Awakens, and they did that, I'm pretty sure, with The Last Jedi. I got kind of sidetracked because, I was going through the Aftermath, book series, and it was, Snap Wexley. It's kind of about Snap Wexley.
Uh-huh.
And it was cool, but it wasn't the greatest book. I was kind of really hoping that it was going to be earlier, but later. But like Snap Wexley was supposed to be like a kid, and it was kind of like, I guess, like building his backstory and his character up just a little bit or whatnot. So, you know, it was still fun. It wasn't the greatest of book series, but it was Star Wars, and it was kind of tied me over to The Last Jedi, good grief, I can't ever get them right. The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, okay, cool. So did you get the list there? So you know
I am one? Working on it here.
Oh, okay. Well, while you're doing that, I'm going to talk about something also that I had actually brought up to you and Steven, because I was watching the panel. Like, I didn't get to go to the panel of The Last Jedi at Celebration.
Uh-huh.
And so whenever I came home, I started watching panels and stuff like that. And I even standing in line for the show store, and this would have been probably like while I was getting the autograph and then going to the Hasbro booth and them telling me no and me getting frustrated and then going to the show store. So this probably happened while I was doing all that stuff. So I didn't ever even catch it during actual Celebration. It wasn't until after I came home, and I was sitting there one day and I was like, I should watch the Last Jedi panel. And I didn't even watch the whole thing because it was like 34 minutes and 42 seconds in or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They posed the question of Steve, what's the guy's name that did the panel? Stephen Colbert. Urkel. Sorry, it took me
Steve
a second.
Steve Wozniak.
Yeah, Steve Wozniak. Stephen Colbert asked,
who's a legit guy to host it, because he is a super,
yeah, that's what I
super
hear.
Nerd. I mean, even he's so into, he is so into Lord of the Rings and Star Wars.
Dude, I wish they would have had Josh Gad.
Yeah.
Josh Gad is like, that dude is great. He did the Disney panel that I got to go to, and that was freaking awesome. Like, he is, talk about your Star Wars, like, fans that actually get to go to those panels and host them. Josh Gad is a legit Star Wars fan, and like, he knows his stuff, and he is impressive. Stephen Colbert, I like Stephen Colbert, but he kind of disappointed me a little bit because he mispronounced some of the names and some of the places and stuff like that. So I was like, how deep is your cred there, bro? Mm-hmm. But anyways,
I think he's a little bit more into Tolkien.
It's probably so. What's up? Yes.
Dave and Daddy, we're here. Are you going to come back and sing for us again?
Do you want to sing? No. Oh, come on. Show off your skills. Come here. Sing for us real fast.
Do Star Wars again one more time. That's not a pretty song. That's crybaby
song.
That's
kind of Star Wars. If I scratch your back? What if I scratch your back, would you sing some Star Wars?
Oh, gosh. She loves scratchy. Hey, well, how does a cow say I love you? Yeah, moo moo moo. Hey, we're gonna pause it again.
Okay.
Moo moo. This is the way it is.
Yeah, we're just gonna leave it.
You're talking about the panels.
I was talking about the panels. And there's something I noticed, because Stephen Colbert asked Kathleen Kennedy. Sorry, my throat's starting to get like super scratchy again.
Is this a question that you shared on Messenger?
This is a question I shared on Messenger, where he asked her, what was the last day of shooting like? And she says, and I quote, she goes, it was emotional. And then she goes on to say, because they were just giving really vague answers up to that point, because he was asking questions that we all want to know about, that they can't give out any answers to right now. And he asked her, what was the last day of shooting like? And she says, and I quote, she goes, it was emotional. And she starts laughing and she goes, well, I can't really say much, but this is the end for me, or something to that effect. I could pull it up in the note and in the thing real fast.
Something like, this is it for me.
This is it for me. So it was just kind of like,
is she gone?
Is she done? Is this going to be the end of for Kathleen Kennedy? Like, what's going on? Like, is this the it for Star, or like, not necessarily for Star Wars. Man, how far back is this thing?
Oh.
That's April 27th. Was it that far back? I think it's actually further back than that. There we go. Hold on. Sorry, guys. This is a lot of stuff that I shared where I was watching Empire Strikes Back last weekend. the Tormund Giantsbane with the milk cow thingamajigger, sea cow thing. Okay, so here it is.
You found it.
Because there we go. Took me a second to find it. It says 34 minutes and 42 seconds. Kathleen Kennedy answers, you know, it was emotional, and I can't really give you any more details except to say that. Remember, this is the end of it for me. The end of it for me. And that's
definitely sounds like.
Sounds to me like she's. I don't know if she's been And it's one of those things, like, she could be just calling it quits because she, I'm not saying she's old, but she's not a spring chicken. Uh-oh. Yeah. It sounded like it was a toy. So, I don't know. I won't say that she's old, but, you know, it could just be that she's retiring, calling it a day, or she could just be, she could be being forced out, no pun intended. She could be being forced out by Disney. I mean, who knows? So it's one of those things, and it could just be like she totally like,
maybe this is contract. Maybe she's,
because they extend
she's just
her.
Over, she's over. Oh, they did extend
her. They did
her
extend her there, and like everybody thought that she wasn't going to get extended. And it could have just been like an extension because
to finish it out,
to finish it out or whatever.
Because she's pretty much overseen now the whole reboot everything that we've seen, and this is the final
movie.
This is the final movie of the saga.
Yeah. So, and I'm hoping, like, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, because I know, like, Bob Iger had actually come out, like, right before, I think it was the Thursday, the first day of Celebration. That Thursday, I can't remember what date that was, they actually had the Disney shareholders meeting or whatever for the quarter. That's something I was going to talk to you about here in just a second. Okay. So let me get through this. And I'm pretty sure they probably showed the Last Jedi trailer at that point in time. And he actually mentioned that Star Wars would be taking a hiatus. Like the movies would be, but there'd still be like TV shows and things like
books
that.
Books and all that.
So, and it actually kind of pisses me off a little bit, because it's like, it's not Star Wars' fault that they screwed up and they decided to release Solo that close to a movie that had a lot of negative fan reaction. So you had a lot of people going like, well, no, I'm not going to go see this because what you did to my favorite character, Luke Skywalker.
And there'd been so much drama around the making of Solo that people had a negative foretaste in their mind already.
There's been so many, like, and that's kind of one of the things that I'm kind of wondering if maybe she is being, like, released, because there'd been so many issues with the directors beforehand with Rogue One. It had, I wanted to say Rian Johnson. That's not right. I can't think of his name right now. Gareth Edwards. Gareth Edwards. He turned in a movie, and then they basically went back and reshot some stuff. And apparently, they reshot like almost the entire ending or whatever. And I can't remember who it was that went and did the reshoot or whatever, because they wanted a war movie. He turned in a war movie. And I'm pretty sure the reason why they decided to reshoot a bunch of things, because he probably turned in what would have been rated R.
Yeah.
And I know that. And, you know, the Disney Plus streaming thing says that their Disney Plus streaming is going to be family friendly, that there's not going to be any rated R content on there whatsoever. It's going to be a bunch of the older movies, a lot of Star Wars stuff, a lot of Marvel stuff, and all like that.
Benioff and Weiss know that.
Well, it's like, where is the Benioff and Weiss stuff going to go? Is that going to go to the streaming, or is that going to be, theatrical releases or whatever? And as far as we know, Rian Johnson's trilogy is still on track to go also. So it could just be like Star Wars is going to go on hiatus for a little while until they get things like put together and have like a director of content. Like, I can't think of the dude's name that covers it for Marvel to make sure that everything ties in and everything's all working together and stuff like that, because they've had so many issues with directors beforehand, to where with, you know, Solo basically had two directors with the two guys that did the Lego movies, and I can't think of their names, and then they brought in Ron Howard to kind of like take over the project and get things back on track, and had to do a lot of reshoots. So the two standalone movies basically had two directors, and they had I think it was the third Star Wars movie, actually, I think was supposed to be directed by Josh Trank, and after his Fantastic Four, and he had a lot of issues anyways. I guess he got in trouble a couple of times, and they actually like destroyed like a condo or something like that he was renting for somebody or whatever, like did like a lot of damage to it or whatever, and like got in trouble. And so they axed him from the project and brought JJ back in. But then again, JJ was disappointed that he didn't go ahead and sign up for all three movies. So it could have been like,
cause he had a vision for how, because he wrote out, when he wrote the first script for Force Awakens, he had a complete like summary of what he thought was should happen for the next two movies after that.
Yeah, apparently, I guess so. Like, that's what I've heard. And then I've also heard that, you know, like, Rian Johnson didn't even have a completed script from The Force Awakens, whatever, he had to start writing The Last Jedi.
See, that's just That's pretty
and so,
bad.
Like,
if that is true, that's not right.
Yeah, you can't do that with the story, man. Like, you gotta have everything. You want your story to fall in line. And right now, it kind of looks like, it almost kind of looks like, even just from what we've seen in the trailers, the teaser trailer from The Rise of Skywalker, it's almost like JJ just giving Rian Johnson the middle finger. Oh, sorry, I just was doing that. And I was like,
she can't see it.
Yeah, that's right. I totally forgot about it. So like Rian Johnson middle finger going like, look, I'm putting it all back to where it was, you know,
that kind of feels like that.
Like Kylo's getting his helmet back. Rey's getting the saber back. All like this stuff. So,
well, if she is leaving,
yeah,
that would kind of explain why they would need a hiatus to get somebody really strong in charge to get a grip on all these projects and everything in the future to come up. Somebody that's credible, somebody that knows the content, that loves it, that's going to invest themselves in it. I think I know they're just the person.
I do too.
Dave.
Filoni? Dave Hammonds?
Dave Hammonds.
That would be great. Dave Filoni.
I was jokingly going to say you, but Dave Filoni is the person. I've heard so many people say he should be.
I think that them giving him not only like, because he's like producer with Jon Favreau on The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
I think they're both of them are executive producers, but yet Dave Filoni also directed an episode of The Mandalorian. And this is his first foray into live action. I think this first foray into live action is a cut your teeth on directing people instead of animation, buddy, because you're about to do some.
Well, like you said with Marvel, they need an editor in chief. They need a master of the story. They need the master storyteller. People can come up and give them ideas.
Yeah.
What ideas do you have? Okay, I want it to tie into this because we're also doing this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's because, man, I would just love to have 2 minutes to talk to Bob Iger and be like, dude, please. Don't put it on a hiatus very long. We want this. Like, the true fans want this.
Yeah.
I want this. Like, you gave us Star Wars back for a little bit. Don't take it away forever. Give it back. Don't do it like the Muppets, to where you've done like a couple of Muppets movies and you've owned the franchise now for like 20 something years or something like that. Like, don't do it like the Muppets. Give us Star Wars. We want Star Wars. I appreciate the TV shows and stuff like that that's coming to streaming with the Cassian Andor series, with the Mandalorian and stuff like that. But I want the movie experience. I love the movie experience. And we've gone over this many times before. You and I both are like, I'd call us movie hounds, man. Like, we, you know, back in the day, I was thinking about that earlier. I was like, man, I'd stick around and hang out and watch a movie with Michael here after a while. And it'd be like, I'm 20 again.
Yeah.
Like, hanging out at Michael's house on Friday night, watching Northern Exposure and then putting in a movie or something like that or whatever, you know? I want the movie experience. I want to be able to go and catch a Star Wars movie. It doesn't have to be once a year.
No.
It can be one every 2 years. I would love it to be once a year or multiple times a year. Maybe it could do like I said, they need somebody in place. Like, what? I can't think of the dude's name that covers everything for Marvel, but they need somebody in place for that. Need to. So, but, you know, I'm excited to see what Benioff and Weiss does.
Yeah.
And so I think the Benioff and Weiss is supposed to come out maybe before Rian Johnson. I'm not sure. I know that Benioff and Weiss had already started working on something for him.
Yeah. I'm not sure of the timeline.
Yeah. So we'll see.
It'll be cool to see. It's just exciting time still.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And maybe some of that negativity that's been floating around since The Last Jedi came out will be
squashed away. And I think that's probably what it is that they're doing. Ooh.
That's the cover for the book.
Really?
There you go.
Resistance Reborn. Does it have a release date for that yet?
All these are going to be coming out between October and November.
Oh, okay. Cool.
The book for the adults is Star Wars Resistance Reborn, and it's by Rebecca Roanhorse.
Okay.
It's a new adult novel. It's going to be released on November 12th, before Rise of Skywalker premieres in December. Bare bones description. It's going to be following General Leia Organa, Poe Dameron, Finn, and Rey as they struggle to rebuild the Resistance after their defeat at the hands of the First Order. This author, Rebecca Roanhorse, she's earned a Hugo and Nebula nomination for her fantastic debut novel, Trail of Lightning, and she won a Nebula Award for her short story, Welcome to Your Authentic Indian Experience, TM. And she's got a new book that just came out, Storm of Locusts. So anybody that wants to get a feel for her writing, okay, you got those options before this comes up. So
okay, cool.
I always thought it interesting who they pick to do these.
I did too.
They used to go after the big sci-fi fantasy guys like Terry Brooks, R.A. Salvatore.
They've had Kevin Hearn do one.
Yeah.
Who did the he did a book, and I actually liked his book. His book caused some controversy, but he did the Iron Druid series.
Oh yeah. And I didn't know he'd done a Star Wars. That's cool.
Yeah, he's done a Star Wars book, you know, and Pierce Brown did one of the short stories in the
No one's done more controversy than Salvatore because he killed Chewbacca.
Right. Yeah,
he had
exactly.
A planet fall on a
rainfall. Oh yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But, you know, we'll see, man. I'm excited, man. It sounds cool. It sounds like a cool concept.
Journey to Star Wars, Rise of Skywalker label is going to be on another. There's going to be a young adult novel called Force Collector by Kevin Schnick. About a teenager who sets out to discover what connection his mysterious force powers have to the fabled Jedi and what the force has in store for him.
What if it's a little kid at the end of The Last Jedi?
I so hope it's a little kid that had the broom.
That would be so awesome. I want him to do something with that.
And Marvel's going to have a 4-issue miniseries called Allegiance about the surviving resistance fighters.
Oh,
Leia's
cool.
Efforts to reach out to her former allies, the Mon Calamari, whose shipyards once powered the Rebel Alliance.
Oh, cool.
And that's going to be written by Ethan Sachs and illustrated by Luke Ross. Cool stuff coming out.
I will be picking that one up for sure. That's neat, man. So,
Timothy Zahn's going to be putting out a new Thrawn novel.
Yeah, I'm not a Thrawn fan.
I'm not a fan of that.
I don't know. Everybody pulls their hair out and goes, "Wow, Thrawn's so awesome." I'm like, yeah, it's a problem. Like, he's almost like he's too awesome just from studying art. And to me, it feels like weak character development for that guy. Yeah. You know, that's just me. That's just my opinion. I'm not saying I didn't enjoy the Thrawn series and stuff like that, but it just is like, yeah, you can learn a lot about a culture from their art and stuff like that, but that doesn't mean that it gives you almost like force-like abilities of being able to like know everybody's exact next movement and stuff like that or whatever. It is what it is, man.
Just not for you.
Yeah, it's not for me. And I people love it. I don't say anything about it. I'm like, Thrawn. Okay, cool. Oh, people freaked out whenever he came out on Rebels and stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So yeah, he's canon. Cool. Awesome. Good job. I don't know. It is what it is. You want to get on some Game of Thrones?
Let's do a little bit of Game of Thrones.
Let's do a little bit of Game of Thrones.
You were in Chicago when the premiere episode came out.
Yes.
Which is kind of just like a, hey, everybody, this is what everybody's doing.
Yeah.
Where everybody's at episode.
Yeah. And I was trying to remember exactly what happened in that first one because I watched it. I watched most of it in Chicago.
Daenerys and Jon showed up with Unsullied and her army.
Yeah, and showed them
making
out a couple
times.
Sansa
was a little bit catty.
Yeah.
Towards her.
Which I thought it deserved. I dug it. It was
Daenerys showing, is a bit full of herself.
She is, man.
She doesn't understand that they don't understand like why I'm so-and-so's daughter. I deserve this.
Who cares?
Here you kind of got to earn something.
Yeah, especially in the Starks, because if I'm not mistaken, didn't her dad or whatever.
Her dad killed Ned's dad and older brother.
Ned's dad and older
Ned
brother.
Ned was never supposed to have been the Warden of the North. He was a younger brother.
Yeah, and burned him alive.
Burned him alive. Yeah, yeah. Jaime watched it.
Yeah.
Jaime watched a lot. Jaime Lannister, as bad as he was early on in the series, and everybody said, oh, see, he's a king slayer. He killed his king. You know what? He deserved a big medal
for doing
it everything that's been said.
Exactly. Yeah, no, exactly. I agree with you full-heartedly on that one.
Fathering children with his sister and pushing Bran out of the window.
Yeah.
Which are enough right there for me to say, let's just string him up and get rid of him.
Yeah. It does make me wonder what they're going to do.
Out of a window.
Yeah, it does make me wonder what they're going to do with that whole storyline and arc with that and stuff. Because it is like, is Jaime going to get his comeuppance for pushing Bran out the window and all like this type of stuff?
Bran's over it. He's like everything you've done. He kept telling the same thing to everybody. Oh yeah, spoilers, everybody.
Yeah.
If we're going to talk in detail here
from this point on. If you haven't watched episode 2 or 3 of Game of Thrones. Cause if you haven't seen episode 1, then I'm sorry. Like, you should have probably already watched episode 1. But if you haven't seen 2 or 3, just go ahead and turn this off, because that's going to be the rest of this episode, basically. Cause I mean, we're already at a minute and, or an hour and 13 minutes.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah.
That's the reason I was like, hey, you want to talk some Game of Thrones? This might be a double episode. We might cut it in half and release the second half or something like that.
So much happened. Well, let's step back. So, Jamie.
Okay.
Let's talk about what Cersei did in King's Landing.
Oh, that's right. I forgot all about that with Bronn the Blackwater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That,
with giving him the crossbow, like the justice, like, well, he killed my father with the crossbow.
So I want justice. Both my brothers dead, and one of them needs to be killed with this at least.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bronn has had it. He's an interesting character. The more I think about it, he is one of the ultimate badasses of.
He is. He's one of my favorite characters.
Fighter. Yeah. He's a deadly force, and he doesn't care.
No, he doesn't.
Does he have loyalty?
He goes with the person with the deepest purse strings.
Which is what when Tyrion was in the dungeon and he wanted Bronn to fight for him.
Yeah.
And Bronn's like, you don't blame me. I mean, please don't blame me, but come on.
Yeah.
She offered me a castle and a wife.
Yeah.
And a bunch of money.
But she also took back the castle and a wife and the bunch of money from him also. So yeah. Is his hate for Cersei going to be so much that he like decides not to? That's what I'm, interested on finding out.
I kept watching, and I know the time span between episodes. I don't know when that happened. Because they do jump around sometimes time-wise, even within a certain episode. I kept thinking, was he going to be there? Is he there? I don't believe that's possible yet.
No.
That's one of the big things. Like, I'm scared. I'm very afraid that he is just going to try to take the money. Or he's also smart enough when he sees the dragons and the Unsullied show up.
Yeah.
Or what's left of them.
Well, I was about to say, how many Unsullied are left?
The Dothraki are gone.
Yeah, the Dothraki got completely, totally wiped out, just destroyed by the White Walkers.
So that episode was pretty much just them arriving.
Yeah.
And Jon finding out from Sam, because Sam is very upset with Daenerys for killing his father and brother.
Yeah. That seemed a bit weird to me, by the way.
He didn't really care about his father. His father was a big, huge jerk.
Yeah. But his whole, like, breaking down and crying because she had killed his father and brother, it really kind of seemed to me like he had kind of, like, lost all love for them with his whole, like...
I thought so.
But especially with what happened whenever he went back too, because he went back to, I can't think of where
they both, when they went back to where his family's from,
I can't remember what it was called.
Gilly and the baby.
Yeah.
And the older brother was a jerk to him. If I remember correctly, the father was of course a huge jerk to him.
Yeah. Well, his younger brother, cause he was, Sam was actually supposed to be,
Sam was the older
heir to,
okay.
To,
the younger brother was a jerk to him.
Yeah.
And then they recast the younger brother.
Oh,
for the
yeah,
season
right.
that
yeah.
when Daenerys and he seemed like a nicer guy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So it kind of struck me as odd that he got so emotional, but I mean, it is family and he did grow up with them. So I mean, I don't know. I don't hate my family. So I wouldn't be able to like put myself in those shoes and be like, oh, well, I hate these people. So what the hell? Like, I freaking love my family dearly. If somebody did that to me, I wouldn't be able to walk for 6 months or something like that,
I just see that's kind of the hypocrisy for Daenerys though, because she has no problem killing people. The only reason she's not killed more people is because she's had advisors around her not to say don't do this.
Yeah.
But she's so angry because her father, who was insane,
killed. And that's what gets me is like, okay, so she finds out, John, wasn't it John that goes and tells her?
John then was talking to her in the crypts and
told her that he was a Targaryen also. And like, she kind of like freaked out.
I'm getting a phone call from Sierra Leone.
Oh, yeah. Do not answer that.
Yeah.
I'm a prince.
She's like, oh, that's very convenient that your brother and your best friend's the ones that have this information.
Yeah. And doesn't she say something about a little kid that can like see into the future or something or see something or whatever? And I was like, okay. And let me just say real fast. Bran, the character Bran's getting a little bit on my nerves.
Most people's reactions is like that.
Because, like, he's always talking so Oracle, like, oh, yes, that type of, I'm like, come on, dude. You were talking normal before the weird guy in the tree and all like this type of stuff. You can continue to keep talking.
He says he's not himself anymore.
Oh, though. Okay. See, I didn't realize that.
He says, I'm not really Bran anymore. I'm something, I think the word where I'm something else now.
Oh, really?
He is, whatever this force is that feeds and power empowers the three-eyed raven.
Yeah.
This thing that can, this being that sees all and knows all. And it's got to be an overwhelming thing.
So he's kind of like Odin then almost a little
kinda,
bit. Kind like,
but he, yeah.
In charge of the ravens and stuff like that or whatever.
And everybody's saying, well, what? Bran didn't do anything. Well, what do you think that three-eyed raven that preceded him did all those, I don't know, how many years he was growing, having tree roots growing through him?
Oh, yeah.
What does he do? So what is his power? What is there? Are they just the memory and the knowledge of the world?
That's a good question, man. Like, I don't know. Like this is.
I mean, it would be cool to see. Okay, here's a, and this is just speculation. Everybody's like, ah, man, why didn't he just warg into that ice dragon and take it over?
Yeah.
Well, it's being controlled by his arch nemesis, the Night King.
Yeah.
So maybe there's too much power involved with the Night King, but there's somebody else he could warg into that, Sandor Clegane might be really happy to. Named, what's his name? The Mountain?
The Mountain, yeah.
He's kind of dim-witted right now. He just kind of is like a big zombie fella.
I was about to say, that's what's got me, like, cause I was like, okay, well, maybe he's part of, like, the White Walkers also, just controlled by Cersei, because I'm pretty sure that dude's dead by the way he looks. Like, we haven't seen him without a helmet on or anything.
Qyburn or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
That's why he got kicked out of the Citadel.
Yeah.
Lost his chains and links and all that is because he's a necromancer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's dark arts. So, could be. They could, yeah. And, you know, another thing, being off in a Weiss, we're on a one late night show the other day. And, somebody, one of the hosts said, so is this it for the White Walkers?
Yeah.
For sure. Definitely done with them. And they just kind of looked at each other and said, we're not saying anything about that.
Yeah, well, and I was hoping not because, I mean, like, they kind of went out pretty quick. It was like one big battle and then just nothing. Like it was, and like, I'd kind of assumed, and I think they had mentioned before in like one of the shows that like, and I don't want to jump too far ahead of us just real quick because I also want to touch base on the second episode,
which was really good.
Yeah, second, we'll see, and like, okay, hold on a second.
Yeah, okay.
So, like, I think they had mentioned in one of the other episodes that, if you take out the Night King, then the rest of the walkers will die and fade away or whatever. And so, like, I was kind of surprised with how quick that happened. It was like just the one big battle, which was freaking awesome. It was great, great episode. But yeah, so I was kind of like, really kind of like shocked that I was like, oh wow, I really thought they would have stretched this out because like, the second episode. Okay, so we'll talk about the second episode. Second episode. It was cool, but it really kind of seemed like a lot of fan service to me, like fanboy lip service almost. And I know that sounds bad, but I'm totally fine with fanboy lip service.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. It's like, here, it's all these people just sitting around talking.
Yeah, not a lot happens. Not a lot goes on.
Pause for a second.
All right.
Go ahead and hit record.
Yeah, we're all positive.
That's the thing about my life. I've tried to explain to people it's chaos. There's not a, when I have a weekend to rest, it's never rest because there's something else comes up. People show up, calls. Like, oh, you got to come take care of this. Lila wants something done. And that's like, it's really hard to focus on one thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I bet so, man. Like, well, that's just life in general, though. Like, I've got it good because at my place, like, I don't have anything to bother me, man. Like, unless somebody texts me or calls me or whatever. But hardly ever is it that somebody ever just drops by unannounced or whatever. Like, even my parents don't do that. Like, they at least, like, call, are you home? Or they call or send me a text, say, you're at home. That's what
it doesn't bother me, but at the same time, it's like,
yeah.
Give me a heads up.
Yeah, you like,
are you busy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of busy right now.
But. Right. But,
We were talking about a second episode. Fan service. I enjoyed it more than I did the first episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got to say, I actually enjoyed it more than the first episode also. I like the fact, you know, Theon comes back into the fold of House Stark. I thought that was really cool. Even though, I mean, that's what I'm talking about where it's paying fan lip service, you know, fanboy lip service. But that's fine though. Like it was like, redeeming Theon, and he needed a redemption after everything that he'd been through and what he'd done and all like this stuff.
Jamie showed up too that episode, didn't he?
Yeah, Jamie showed up at that episode also, and of course, I think that was at the beginning of it because isn't that where
he shows up at the end of the first, and the very beginning of the second episode, it's him saying, "Yeah, hey, I'm here."
Yeah,
and that's when Daenerys is like turning and saying, "Tyrion, you are I should not trust you anymore," and that's when Jorah steps up and says, "It really hurt me when you made him hand and not me."
Yeah.
But he is the person you need to trust. Yeah. He's the smartest person I know.
And also, Brianna Tarth, because they're having the trial for Jaime.
Yeah.
And Brianna Tarth, up. Like, steps up for Jaime and stuff like that, too. And I was like, all right.
And
cool.
That's where Sansa pulls some of her powers. Is like, I trust her with my life. If her word, she's giving her word on something, I trust her.
Yeah. And that's, to me, that's saying something, especially with her, Sansa's, you know, running with the Lannisters, you know, and
yeah,
not necessarily Jaime, but like with Cersei and Joffrey and all of them or whatever.
No, she wants them dead.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh,
well, Joffrey is dead, but yeah, she wants Cersei dead. Everybody wants Cersei dead.
And that Joffrey death still kind of bugs me a little bit. It should have just been like just a little bit more harsh, a little
didn't
more punishing.
Enough.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Should have lingered for a couple of hours.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There should have been some evil stuff that happened to him.
I feel bad for that actor because I know he probably catches a lot of.
Oh, you know he does, dude. You know he has to. It's kind of like the kid who played Draco Malfoy.
Yeah,
Malfoy.
He
like I'm
me
sure
too.
He gets. Oh yeah,
I can't separate.
Like, just, like
he's probably the nicest. The same guy, that played Ramsay Bolton, who's one of the most horrific people on any media I've ever seen.
Oh yeah.
He's supposed to be like this. He's a folk singer. He's the sweetest dude, I think. I think in real life, he's really nice. But forever in my mind, when I see him, he's that guy that just tortures people and cuts parts off of them.
Cut off Theon's wiener, man.
Send him back.
And then
ate a big old German sausage
right in front of him. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. It's that was tough, dude. And and then he plays Mick Mars in the dirt on that Netflix.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah. It's all right. It's all right. It's fun.
Second episode, the highlight of it for me was when they were all sitting around the fire and it's Jorah. It's Pod.
Tormund,
my man.
Tormund comes back. Tormund dies, I quit watching. I'm saying that right now. I'm going on record as saying Tormund Giantsbane dies. I quit watching Game of Thrones. It ends with me with that. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you.
My person that says I'm done is if Arya had died.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I don't really want to watch it anymore because she's my favorite person in the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I can already almost guarantee you that Sansa's going to still be Warden of the North and Arya's going to be her right hand, her killer, her personal killer or whatever. But Arya is going to go on her hero. Well, I wouldn't even call it hero's journey. Well, it could be hero's journey. Arya is going to go on her hero's journey.
We made a death list of who everybody we thought would live or die.
Oh, really?
And I've got down that Brienne lives, Pod dies, Jaime dies, Tormund dies, Davos dies, Tyrion lives, Sansa lives, Theon dies, Bran lives.
Okay.
Jorah dies, Arya lives, Gendry dies, Jon lives, Daenerys lives, Bronn dies.
I think
Dolores Ed dies.
I think Daenerys might get killed.
I think so too.
I think Dany might get killed. I think she's snapping. I think she's going the way of her dad.
A lot of people are saying that, but then she didn't have to do what she did.
Yeah, true.
She could have got her whole thing driving her is she wants the Iron Throne.
Yeah.
She could have gone and taken it right then.
She could have gone and taken it right then, and she could have let Jon get killed whenever he was fighting the White Walkers there on the ground, whenever it's a dragon, which makes me wonder, is there one dragon left now, or is because did Jon's dragon die, or did Jon?
I don't know. Jon's went down hard.
Yeah.
He kind of crash landed.
But
it didn't show him dead.
Yeah.
So hopefully.
I'm hoping they still got the two dragons, and like, I'm curious of like, what is left of their army and stuff like that. Howdy, what's going on?
Do you want to sing another song? What do you want?
To get magic milk.
Okay.
All right.
Pause. I'm going to go get you something to drink.
All right. We're off.
We might be able to finish this without being interrupted. I think that's like five times we had to pause it.
I don't care. It's been fun. So what we were talking?
Do you want to say a little bit more about the second episode?
I'm pretty much good on the second episode. I liked the second episode. Liked it better than the first one. I loved because that was where Tormund and the rest of the survivors of Castle Black showed up. And I loved Tormund's thing and telling how he got his name and suckling at the teat of a giant for like 3 months or something like that or whatever.
Killed the giant's wife.
Husband. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it had some definite, I know it was like this. See, this leads into something else for about episode 3, which we're just talking about briefly. So, highlight of that second episode was when Arya shows up and says, hey, the highlight for it, the first episode was when Arya goes to Gendry and says, make this for me.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, yeah, okay, little girl, death is scary. And she's like, I'm curious about to see what face this of death looks like, this death looks like or something.
Yeah.
Like she looks at him real cold and then she picks up the dragonglass daggers and starts throwing them.
Oh, yeah.
And all hit like dead center in the same spot right by this guy that's standing on the other side of this post. And he looks at her and says, okay, I'll get to work on it. And then she goes to the second episode and she gets her weapon.
Yeah.
And then
she got her weapon.
then
the uncomfortable Arya scene that nobody wanted to see, but like it still happened.
Yeah. But the highlight of the second episode for me was Brienne of Tarth getting knighted.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was pretty awesome.
Which was very awesome.
Yeah. Cause she was trying to play it off like she didn't care or whatever.
Cause for her whole life, she's like, she's a woman.
Yeah.
She can't do anything.
And to me, that was also a pretty big, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you.
No.
I do it all the blast of time, but to me, that was also a character building moment for Jaime Lannister. Kind of showing you finally, like, he has turned the page. He's not the person he was at the beginning of the series.
Oh, not at all.
He, you know, beforehand, he would have made fun and said, like, a woman can't be a knight. And now he's like saying, well, a knight can make another knight. Come here and kneel in front of me. And of course she didn't want to do it at first. And he basically made her come and kneel in front of him. And then whenever he knighted her, you know, she got all emotional and I don't blame her. It's something
and
she
no
wanted,
one was happier than Tormund though.
Oh,
he
had
a huge, I mean, that wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for him. If I was king, I'd notch it 10 times over.
Exactly. Yeah.
Tormund is the best though.
Tormund is the best. That's my dude, man.
Walks in drinking whatever that is. He's drinking
his
that
giant's milk in his horn.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm assuming or whatever. Yeah, it's a good episode, man.
And then they show up. Then the White Walkers show up.
And it's early in episode 3 where the White Walkers show up, too.
Well, they show up at the very end of the third episode, and I had a theory, and some other people had a theory, that the Night King wasn't even going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, I was Night King.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm the Night King. I've got, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of these whites.
Yeah.
I'm going to take my dragon, half of this army.
I don't know what your cat's doing back over there.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
I don't control anything in this household, if you've not seen in the last hour and a half. I would have headed down south with them and gone and just wiped out Cersei. And a lot of people thought that's what he might be doing, because they didn't show the Night King. They showed his
army.
His army and those other White Walkers.
Or whatever. I was
the long-haired hippie dudes.
Yeah. Right. I love the fact that you can see from the White Walker that dude, like, that they have playing him totally looks German.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just looks like your typical German guy. And I was like, that guy has, his name, is like, I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Isn't he like the stunt coordinator or something like that for the show? And they just said, hey, you want to roll?
Yeah, right.
You don't have to talk or anything.
He didn't even really have to do anything. He just looks at people.
Walk around and raise your arm.
Yeah, and throw a spear every
and
once in a while.
Smile when Daenerys tries to burn you up.
Yeah.
So the third episode was just nothing but a fight.
It's nothing but a huge giant battle, which was amazing. Like, I couldn't imagine what something like that cost to produce, because there's a lot of CGI in that. And so I saw somebody actually complaining about how dark it was. I'm like, it's the White Walkers and the Night King.
Yeah.
And we know, like, the long night is coming. And so, like, it's going to be dark whenever they battle.
Well, the thing is, you can go into your, should be able to go in and adjust your settings on your TV to where you can see it better. Because the first night, one, we had problems because it was so dark. TV wasn't set right. And I was having really bad internet reception because we have to stream it now because Dish Network no longer carries HBO. So I had to go through Amazon Prime, which is all internet. And
well, see, and I always have problems the night of with Amazon. Well, I was having problems with it with HBO whenever I was doing HBO by itself.
Yeah.
And then I switched my HBO over to my Amazon Prime because it's cheaper to get HBO now through Amazon Prime. It's like 50 cents cheaper. I'm such a tightwad that I'm going to take 50 cents extra. Yeah, I'm going to be like, well, shoot, why not? And so I moved it over to that, and I cannot watch it the night of because it will play for a little bit, and then it has to stop and buffer, and then it'll play for a little bit, and it'll stop and buffer, and then it'll get like super. Yeah, I'm guessing just so many people are doing the same thing that we are. They're watching it on the internet or whatever, and so like it'll stop and buffer, and then it'll get like really, really, really pixelated and stuff like that, and you can't really make out anything. So I just always say, shoot, devil with it. I'll watch it on Monday whenever I get home from work.
Well, the next day I went and made some adjustments on my settings for the picture of my TV, and it was a lot better.
Okay.
Even the cinematographer said he like got sick. I guess he got tired of people.
Cat.
He got tired of people griping about it. He says, just adjust your TV settings. You don't have your TV set correctly.
Yeah. And like, it's one of those that you know it's going to be dark because these things thrive in darkness. They can't be in the sunlight. They're like vampires, I guess. They can't be in the sunlight. So you know it's going to be dark. So everything that they shoot is going to have to look like it's dark. So what do you do to make it look dark? You make it dark.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. And plus the episode is called The Long Night.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Which I think is cool because they don't release the episode title at all until after.
Oh, really?
Well after.
Yeah.
And they don't give any description about what's coming up.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, big fight. To go back to episode two, okay. It's like, I tolerated all the like fan service and just hanging out moments because I was pretty sure everybody was going to die.
Oh yeah,
and they didn't.
Yeah, like I thought our heroes.
Yeah,
were just going to be decimated, man.
I thought okay, you got probably either Daenerys or Jon might make it through.
Yeah,
and then you got name all your favorites and. Pretty much all of them should be gone.
Oh, yeah. I was for sure Tormund was going to die. But, like, you see him there towards the end standing on a stack of bodies with, I think it's Gendry. Him and Gendry are standing there together and just, like, hacking away at the dead and all like this stuff. And it's like, yeah, my boy's living.
But the award goes to little Lyanna Mormont.
Oh, yeah.
Who went out like a champ.
Yeah, dude.
Charged up to that giant.
Yeah.
Crushed her like a...
Started squeezing her, popping her chest armor and stuff.
She's like, I ain't going out like chump.
Oh, yeah.
Stabbed him right in the eye
with
ended him.
Dragon glass. That's one. Okay, I will say one thing that kind of bothered me is that it shows them like forging weapons out of the dragon glass. But the dragon glass, whenever you look at it, it almost looks like flint weapons. Like dragon glass, I'm just going to call it obsidian because that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah.
But it shows them like forging weapons, like melting it down and forging weapons, but then it looks like it's also like flint style weapons and
a
stuff.
A lot of the ones that are handheld look like that. I don't know about like the ones that he's making, like swords,
like
and spearheads.
Arrows and stuff. Yeah.
And
even the one that Arya had.
I don't know. Is he like mixing? Is he like breaking down the dragon glass and then mixing it with steel?
Yeah, that could be possible. I didn't even think about that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I wanted them to explain that better.
Yeah, it's kind of the same here. I will say, like, one of my favorite things in episode three was the Red Woman letting all the Dothraki, I can't think of what their swords are called, their curved blade swords.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I liked it whenever she set those all ablaze and they went charging off. I was like, yeah! And then just start seeing the lights dwindle out.
She's an interesting person, a character in that. Remember the guy that Beric Dondarrion was hanging out with?
Yeah.
That every time he'd die, he'd just like do some words and the guy, he'd just pop up.
Yeah.
You remember how much she struggled to get, she couldn't just get Jon to just, Jon didn't just pop up.
Oh, yeah.
Come back to life. She struggles to, she got those Dothraki weapons to light pretty good, but when she goes and she's trying to light fire to the trenches, it's not until she's like super scared
that
it worked for her.
This is what I equate that to. You remember in like Dragonlance novels and like D&D and stuff like that, your wizard had to have like full concentration on what he was doing and stuff like that to get it to work?
Yes.
I think that's what it was. I think it was like she was panicking. Because where she's trying to light that, you know, she's got the Unsullied around her, And I was totally sitting there thinking, I was like, why are they in ranks? Why are they like spaced apart? Like they could have totally taken a cue from the Vikings and made a shield wall.
Yeah.
And the Romans made a shield wall. And like, because like that, I loved that whole shot right there at the beginning of the battle where like the horses start running back and a few Dothraki, like maybe five come running back or whatever. Like they're dead and you see Ser Jorah come running back on his horse still. And then all of a sudden the dead like attack and they just start, it shows them kind of like sweeping over like a wave. And I was like, that's freaking wicked, dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, why are they not like locking in shields? You would have figured that they would have had like some sort of technology like that.
There was
that.
Times when they kind of did, but yeah. Their shields are pretty small.
Yeah. They're those kind of round ones, but they still could have like had an overlapping, like at least a little bit of a shield wall or something like that. But yeah, I was just like, why are they still in ranks, man? Like that's not a good way of fighting. Like, what are you guys doing? I mean, maybe the Unsullied doesn't know that little cue.
Then you get a full on dragon fight.
Yeah. And that was like what was freaking awesome was the whole, like, you think that, like, oh my God, this is it. Like, you know, Brienne goes down and Jaime goes to save her. And I guess you never do see him get her back up. But of course she's like fighting later on. Yeah, so, you know, he does go in there and save her. And, you know, it's like all hell breaking loose, and all of a sudden the dragons come in and they're just doing like freaking strafing runs with the dragons. You're like, oh, this is awesome. One of the greatest things, one of my favorite things out of that episode, though, and something I've wanted to see for a long, long, long time. And I know you know exactly where I'm going with this. I see the question on your face.
Yeah, because I can think of a couple of things.
Dragon battle in the sky, dude. That was the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Like, why have we not had a movie that does that yet? Like that, and that one was done very well.
I think
like,
they must have just mastered the ability to do such a good one, though.
Yeah, because that was cool, dude. Like
when
that
John's
was,
dragon bites out the neck, and then you see flame come out the
coming out the side of its neck, dude. I was like, oh man, yeah, that was freaking wicked.
Well, let's talk about the end of it a little bit.
All right,
so you get John's.
Well, hold on.
Wait, okay, no,
so,
go back.
So, just, you know, it kept showing going to the Godswood with Bran and Theon and the Ironborn around Bran. And every time it showed Bran, Bran is warging into something.
Mm-hmm.
What was he warging into? We never see it.
The first thing he warged in, he says, I'm going now. And Theon's like, where are you going?
Yeah.
He doesn't understand, I don't think, because he just showed up.
Yeah.
And then his eyes went white and he became those ravens and flew up and found the Night King.
But yeah.
Then he just sits there for another 30, 45 minutes.
Warged into something. And
what
like,
is he doing?
That's what I wanted to know. And like, part of me got like really excited because I had a friend of mine who, and I can't take credit for this theory. It was actually my friend that I made at Celebration. And, they were telling me that they're one of their hopes, one of their theories is that Bran was going to warg into a dragon under Winterfell because one of the legends of Winterfell, it's the reason why it's always warm, is because the dragon that lives underneath Winterfell keeps it warm. And I was like, dude, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because they even say, you know, he'll never walk, but he'll fly.
They did say that, didn't they?
Yeah. And so I still keep thinking that he's going to take over a dragon at some point in time. Now, well, is it true that there's a dragon underneath Winterfell? That would be
the legend,
freaking amazing. Of course, they say that that's a legend, but then they also say there's hot springs under there or something
like
that.
Isn't also tied into the legend of that Azor Ahai, that the prince that is promised or whatever, that's supposed to come back and be the hero that ends the long night?
Well, see, and I also think that the Night King is a Targaryen.
Oh, yeah.
I think that he's a Targaryen. I think somebody had some sort of like theory that the White Walkers, he might actually be, you know, he might actually be a Targaryen, and the White Walkers are actually set to put back things back into place.
Yeah.
That the reason why they're there is to go back and get a Targaryen back on the Iron Throne, which could be Jon Snow and or Daenerys Targaryen. So. What you got there? Is that a footstool or is that a?
That's what part of her toy box.
Oh, okay.
She decided to. What are you doing
in here? Oh, do you want your footstool sticker?
You want a sticker for the footstool?
Footstool.
Back. We're back. Back.
back in the saddle
again. You gotta serve the princess. When she says do something, right. You gotta do it.
I think you need it. We gotta get you a Texas Ranger sticker now, though.
Yeah. Well, that was on, I found that for nothing. Oh, really? And I wanna put it on my shirt.
Yeah, hey. You need one on there, though. I'll get you one.
Yeah.
This way it doesn't get taken over by the princess.
Yeah. It's like, okay, how can I get her, appease her for another 5 minutes?
All right. So, where were we at? We were talking about,
you're talking about legends Night King and the Night legends, King, the dragon,
and the other theories and stuff like that. I don't know. I like that theory of that he's kind of set there to put things back to right, to put a Targaryen back as the leader of the Seven Kingdoms and stuff like that, or whatever. I do like that theory because it could work both ways for either Daenerys or Jon. Or what are they? What was his official name? They say Rhaegar, I guess, or is he?
He's Aegon. Oh, he's so Aegon. He's Aegon Targaryen is his name now.
And it kind of makes me wonder if Maester, the Grand Maester there at Castle Black, what was his name?
I can't remember now, but he was a Targaryen.
Yeah, he was a Targaryen also. So it kind of makes me wonder if he might have had a little bit of insight and knew exactly who Jon was.
He might have.
Because he seemed like he was kind of grooming him almost a little bit and stuff. Or he just really liked Jon. I mean, who knows? But yeah. So anyways, so end of the episode. And you take over from here.
Okay. So Jon pretty much is like, okay, everything is just breaking down. I'm just going to go to Bran, and I'm going to go be the hero and fight the Night King and kill him. Right?
Yeah.
So he's trying to get through there. Here comes the Ice Dragon that's just floundering around, I guess in pain also, in anger. I mean, he's not in good shape, but he's just tearing stuff up, blowing this ice fire or whatever the heck it is everywhere.
And you can tell that he is focused. He's trying to keep people out of the Godswood.
Yeah.
But you can also tell that he is focused on Jon, because every time Jon pokes his head up, Jon's trying
to get through there, and he can't get through there. He's trying to get in to
assist Bran.
And Jon had these moments where, like, I need to stop and help Bran here. I need to stop and help this person. But he's like, no, I gotta go.
Because he sees his best friend, Sam, possibly even dying.
Bran's there, though.
Yeah.
Bran is the end of this is what's happening in there.
Yeah.
And so he gets, he can't get through, though.
Yeah. And he's got the ice dragon.
And I didn't catch this. Somebody else, really good eyes, caught this. Melisandre, Beric Dondarrion dives, saving Arya.
Yeah.
Melisandre says.
She even had. Yeah. Okay.
Melisandre says he's fulfilled his destiny for the Red God, the Fire God of Fire. And I've seen you before, and you're going to. What did I tell you? You're going to kill many.
You're going to close many eyes.
Blue eyes, or green eyes, brown eyes, blue eyes, and Arya looks at her and goes, oh.
Yeah.
And then she goes, which is, I love this callback to the very first season, what do you say to death? And Arya goes, not today. And then she just like, I'm out. So where did she go? You don't see her again until. Yeah.
She just takes off running.
Jon is there. He's blocking, you know, trying to get past the dragon somehow, hoping he can get past it. And then, if you watch closely, he sees something. Like
apparently you can see her.
If you had the color, if you could adjust it probably right, you probably could see her.
Yeah.
And that's when everybody's like, why did he, like an idiot, just stand up and scream? He stood up and yelled, go, go, go.
Yeah.
And that's the moment when the Night King was getting to Bran. And was about to reach for his sword.
Yeah.
And then the long-haired hippie White Walker
hair blow.
Arya is flying.
Yeah.
And she's jumping up with that dagger. And then, of course, the Night King, being awesome as he is, senses it, turns around, grabs her by the throat. You think all is lost, and she pulls off the awesome move of dropping the dagger. And
catching it in another hand.
And stabbing him right where it counts.
Oh, yeah.
And he disintegrates, and everybody, it's like a wave of his energy just kind of dilutes.
Just dilutes that. And then part of me, I love that shot, by the way, because it just kind of like follows it. And you can actually see it as they're going over the wall. They just start dropping dead and falling down and stuff like that. And it just follows it out. Part of me also wonders, was the Red Woman tied in with that? because she walks away. She takes off her necklace. Mm-hmm. Was it Sir Davos that saw it? Or whatever. Was it Davos?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Davos.
Because he had wanted to kill her, and he told him right when she got there, he said, I'll be dead before sunrise.
Yeah, and so she takes off the necklace, and we'd seen her take off the necklace before. She took it off at Castle Black, and we saw that, you know, it was just glamour that she's actually like a really old woman.
Really old.
And so she takes off the necklace, and the glamour disappears, and she drops it, and she walks, well, she starts walking away, but the further she gets, she changes back into her actual self. The glamour's gone. Now you see that she's an old woman. And it's just a few seconds later, she kind of goes down on her knees and she just turns to dust and it's like nothing's left but her skeleton. So part of me wonders, like, was she formed? Was she as old as the Night King? Was she actually formed at the same time that the Night
King
did? Very
good question. Good question.
So, yeah, and that's one of those that I don't know if we'll ever even get an answer to.
And you're not going to get you probably won't get an answer because you got to remember there is not even a Night King in the books yet. Yeah. If there is even going to be one.
Yeah.
So, you know, George R. R. Martin, he could write a completely, and I kind of hope he does, completely different story.
I hope that he does also, just because the fact that, like, so far that's kind of how the books, like, they've kind of gone in two separate directions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the books and the series does kind of follow the books a little bit, but, like, it's like book two, like, it's really starts separating quite a bit.
Yeah.
Where the TV series is going down this road and the books are going down this road. It's very cool. So I'm kind of curious to see, like, apparently from what I understand though, like, he told Benioff and Weiss how the series ends.
He either told them or they told him what they thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
They sat a sit down because I've heard them tell the story about how, because he'd had people pitch him for years.
Yeah.
And he thought that no one could make a show about it.
Yeah.
It's kind of an unmakeable book. They're not making the book. They have made this completely different thing because it's very different from the books, even in the earlier parts like you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And they said something that impressed him so much that he's like, yeah. So he had to have given him something.
He had to give him something. Yeah, exactly. So, and which just brings me to the thing of, like, come on, George. Come on,
it's been
Patrick Rothfuss.
Like 10 years, right?
Both you guys got a series that you got to end. Both of you need to get off your butts and get your books done. Like, I'm tired of waiting on the King Killer Chronicles, and I'm tired of waiting on the Song of Ice and Fire. We need to finish this up. And the reason why I think John's going to be the king of the seven kingdoms, be the winner of the realm.
Yeah.
It's because of the title of the book.
Game of Thrones.
The Song of Ice
Song
and Fire.
Song of Ice and Fire, yeah.
Ice is in the title.
Snow.
And he's the snow. He's the one from the north. So, and it could be that he and Danny, you know, they're like, hey, that's how the Targaryens do it. They're not brother and sister, but hey, you know, they are related. They're cousins or something like that.
Yeah. No, she's his aunt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. His father. Oh God. When you start doing families in this show.
Yeah. Cause his father is her brother.
Yeah.
But yet she was, you know, like any other royal family. They've got 30 kids or something like that or whatnot. So, and she was the youngest one.
She was the last. She was born.
Yeah. And she was snuck out by her brother.
Stormborn. She was born. Yeah. And she was snuck out and they were the only ones left apparently.
Yeah.
So. Except for the maester that was living up at Castle Black. He didn't want to be king and.
Oh yeah.
Which was a really cool thing early in the series. I'm a Targaryen. Young Aegon always was a problem. Right. I loved him.
Oh yeah, I did too, man.
So many, okay. Forget Jon and Daenerys and favorite characters aside from them, because a lot of people say, Jon.
Yeah.
Or Daenerys.
I'm totally Tormund. Tormund's
your dude.
Tormund's my dude. That's why I keep saying he's like everybody is with Daryl with Walking Dead. That's, mine is Tormund. Tormund dies. I quit watching. F y'all. Like, I'm done. Like, that's my dude. You know, he's the closest thing you have to a Viking on that show. So I'm like, yeah. Besides, and I've got a topic saved for that in my notes here.
Okay.
That we're going to talk about someday about how the different areas kind of actually relate to different societies throughout history and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Cause to me, like the Ironborn is very much like Vikings and stuff
very
like that.
Very much so.
Like that. So it'll be a cool little topic, and we'll talk about that on one of the next episodes. Cause we're like right at 2 hours right now. So
hey, wow. Why not, man? We missed it into two episodes, but we're just going to drop it as one.
We're just going to drop it as one because we're going to record probably next weekend.
I hope so.
Yeah, because I still got a lot of stuff to talk
about. No, next weekend, dude. I'm Scarborough Fair. I'm going to be gone.
Oh, y'all going next weekend?
11th.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Cool. Yeah. And Mother's Day next weekend also.
Yeah. It's a misloaded month for
us. It is. Oh, trust me. I feel you. Yeah. This is kind of the same here. But anyways, so like, gotta say, I dug the death scene. I like the way that they did the CGI or whatever that was whenever Arya stabs him with a Valyrian steel dagger, which was the dagger that they was sent to kill Bran with, which was the dagger that cut through Lady, Stark's hands and stuff like that. It was supposed to be like basically the death. What would have technically probably been the death of everybody, because Bran would have been dead if the guy would have been successful, which they would have never had another war, which would have basically been the death of the entire realm itself. Yeah. Whatever you think about it.
One thing that I don't like about the way they're making this all out.
Yeah.
This ties into Star Wars.
Okay.
Okay. Bran is sitting there so chill and calm because apparently he sees how this is all going to play out.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
I don't really like the fact that everything's written out definitely that's going to happen this way.
Yeah.
Because I like what Yoda said.
Yeah.
The future is murky.
Yeah. Forever.
Always moving.
Yeah. Forever changing. Yeah. Always moving the future is. Yeah. Yeah. Always in motion the future is.
I like the idea that you can see what might happen.
Yeah. You can have glimpses of what might happen, but you can't see what's directly going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, dude. No, I'm right there with you. I love that. And that's one of my favorite Yoda isms, the always in motion, the future is, along with the do or do not, there is no try. And spiritual beings are we, not this crude matter. That's another one of my favorites. Yeah. I always thought about getting that one. That was another one of the Yoda isms I thought about getting tattooed
luminous
at some point.
Luminous beings we are.
Yeah, yeah, luminous beings we are, not this crude matter. Yeah. Yeah, I always thought that was kind of cool. But anyways, I mean, like, shoot, you could compile a freaking list of Yoda-isms and you could live a good life just living off of what he says.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
You very well could.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyways, back to Game of Thrones. I kept wanting to call it Return of the King, and then Lord of the Rings. I was like, no. That's the wrong series, Dave. Love the way that it looked whenever she stabbed him with the Valyrian steel, and he just kind of like turned to ice and just shattered all over the place. And then you just see it just, you know, like dominoes falling, ricochet through and stuff. So I'm excited to see what comes up next. Like, are the White Walkers done? How much of their army is left? Because it looked like there was total devastation, man. Like,
yeah.
It didn't look like there's a whole hell of a lot of people left.
What's left of the North to face Cersei?
Yeah, what's left to face Cersei? And like, part of me also is like, I kind of hope she gets to keep the Iron Throne just to see how many people get so pissed off and thrown off by Cersei not dying and getting to keep the Iron Throne. Like, but you know, again, at the same time, part of me is like, all right, man, come on, give me Jon Snow on the throne with Sansa up in the North with Arya as her like little personal killer.
My
frog face
wish
killer.
Is the next thing's. Arya's doing is heading south, even if they don't go.
Oh, dude, she's gonna kill Cersei.
She has to be.
She's gonna kill Cersei.
Well, the prophecy for Cersei is that she'll die being choked at the hands of a younger brother.
Oh, okay.
Jaime's a younger brother, technically.
I was gonna say
Tyrion's a younger brother. Yeah. She was born first.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be Tyrion. But I really want Arya to kill her.
I think they're gonna kill Tyrion.
I've got a bad feeling about that too.
I'm not,
and he's one of my favorite characters. Yeah,
Tyrion, Arya. Those are probably my two favorites.
Okay, so let's talk about this weird little romance that's all of a sudden
Sansa.
Yeah, it's like all of a sudden
she's
spurred
like,
up between
the best
those two
of them.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, she's experienced the true horror of all these. First, she wanted to be a princess and a queen.
Yeah,
and she got that. That wish was horrible.
Oh God, yeah.
He
it was a horror story.
I don't think he was as nice to her in the books as he was in the.
Yeah, I can't remember. It's been so long since I've gone through the books, but like, you know, even like whenever they got married, he was very honorable to her and stuff like that. So it's like I could almost see to where it's like. Like, they have that recognition while they're in the crypts of, like, she finally sees it, like, oh, wait, he's actually, like, a really good dude. And
well,
stuff
you
like
know
that.
That there's all this theory of people close, deep readers and all this, that he might not even be a true Lannister. He might be a Targaryen.
Oh, really?
He might be another brother or half brother to Danny, because Aegon, apparently the Mad King, apparently really liked old Lannister's wife.
Yeah,
and there's people speculating that he might not even be a real Lannister by blood.
That would be interesting,
other than through the mother.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
If that was revealed. I mean, they don't have enough. I guess they have enough time in the show for Bran to say, oh, by the way.
Yeah.
You're not Tywin Lannister's son, so you do not have to carry that name.
I like your Bran voice. Oh, by the
way. Yeah, why they.
Sorry, it's got to be more monotone. By the way, you're not the Lannister.
Apparently.
The lion doesn't always pay his debts.
Apparently that look that Bran's giving everybody.
Yeah.
My wife told me that she read it somewhere, is that he's like needs contacts and glasses really, really bad.
Oh, really?
And when they film him, they take them away, make him take them off.
Oh, yeah.
Out his contacts, no glasses. Of course, no glasses, but
yeah,
they make him not have them. And he's like, he can't see, so that's why he's kind of got that squinty look. They like it because it makes him look like he's not even looking at them because he can't see them.
You can't see him? That's freaking awesome. Oh, my God. That's so cool.
Apparently, Sansa or Arya in the scene said something to him. And she says, well, it's like you're not even looking at me. He says, I can't see you. I can't see you. They won't let me wear my contacts anymore.
That's amazing. Oh, my goodness.
That's a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah.
I know. Game of Thrones, there's lots of things I don't like about it.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I've stuck with it.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, it's fun. It's
fun to get to the end of this, and they've got like three prequels in the works.
Oh, my.
One of them got canceled, though.
Oh, really? I don't know if we need prequels, though, man. I kind of want to see what happens after. Well,
they're going like 1,000 years before.
Because I want to see what happens like after that Battle of Winterfell.
Next, yeah.
Like, they're going to spend a long time cleaning all that crap up, dude, because there was a lot of dead things all over the place.
They got to burn everything still.
I was like, dude, at least it's the winter time and nothing's going to be stinking yet because it's going to be frozen. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was being just demolished all over the place. And it was like parts of it were collapsing because there was so much weight on it is what it looked like to me. You know, that part where Jon's running through as he's trying to get out to Arya.
Yeah.
He's running through and like stuff is collapsing down. And I'm thinking it's just because there's so much weight and there's so many people in there and like the dead. So yeah. Many of the dead, you know, bones are heavy.
It's going to be a nasty cleanup.
Oh, yeah.
Not many people left to do it.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. I saw somebody comment something. They're like, look, man, if we see Winterfell in the next episode and it's completely, totally clean, I'm calling BS on it. Yeah, I was like, yeah, that's true.
Has dragons.
That's true.
The dragons got to eat. Dragons got to eat. But
do they like rotted meat though? Or?
Probably not. Yeah, they can cook it though.
Yeah, that's true. But that I was gonna say, man, that's the one thing. Like, at least they're frozen because it's not gonna stink just yet.
Not as.
But if it's once it gets spring and you don't have those things covered up or burn, sorry about you.
Well, I think we set a record for ourselves.
We did, man, because we are at 2 hours and 1 minute right now. Well, I don't know. I can't remember what the first one was.
First one was almost 3 hours, I think.
Wasn't? Yeah.
It was really long.
Yeah, this is definitely a record since then. Yeah. We just had so much to talk about. Like, the first hour, we were talking about nothing but a 2-minute trailer, basically.
Pretty much.
And this is like, you know, three episodes of
5 hours of Game of Thrones
and stuff like that. But the first two episodes, not much really happened. I mean, there's character building and stuff.
Pretty much.
But
everything came about in that episode, and I've heard the next episode.
Yeah.
Which will be last night's episode for people that listen on Monday when I hopefully have this drop. It's supposed to be what's his name? The guy that plays John.
Yeah.
He says
Kent Harrington.
He says he thinks the next one's better than the one he was just did.
Okay. Awesome.
It's going to be shifting gears.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Awesome. All right, so if you like the show, help us grow. Go by, rate us, and write a review. Just remember, please be kind.
We like 5 stars.
While you're at it, go by www.nerdylegion.com/audible and sign up for your 1 month free subscription and 2 free books. They have hundreds of thousands of books and speeches and many more all at your fingertips. Not to mention, they also have this really cool thing where they do like the Audible selects or whatever.
Oh, yeah. You can get originals.
Audible originals, and you get these free books. One that I got this last month, it was by John Scalzi. They had this whole thing going on, like, I don't know if they pick an author of the day or author of the week or maybe one of the month, and they kind of like focus on them, but they had an Audible original by John Scalzi that was crap. I can't think of the blast name of it now. Is that my phone? Or is that no? That's mine. This is my. I should just pause it one more. Okay, so it was called The Dispatcher. It's by John Scalzi. It's completely, totally free. It was for April, so I don't know if you can get it anymore. But it was an amazing, amazing little short story of 2 hours and 18 minutes long. And basically, it was kind of, you ever seen the movie Repo Men?
Yes.
Okay, well, there's also the Repo Genetic Opera is what Repo Men is based on. I don't know if you've ever seen Repo, the Genetic Opera. It's a rock opera. It's actually kind of cool. It's got Paris Hilton in it. Zadrick comes in a little glass vial. It's totally a musical. Huh. But it's pretty awesome, dude.
Okay.
So anyways, and I think you used to could watch that on like Amazon. I think it used to be on Netflix, Repo. Okay. Repo the Genetic Opera. Look it up, dude. It's pretty sick. You'll dig it. Anyways, The Dispatcher is kind of like follows along the lines of that almost, but now like in the future, if you are murdered, you don't die. You wake up back at home naked. So you can't be killed. So like you die and your body dissolves, goes away into thin air, and then you wake up back at home. But if you die of natural causes and things like that, like whatever, like cancer or like heart attack or whatever,
you're dead.
And you don't return. So
interesting.
So yeah, and it's a very interesting like story or whatever. And this is the book is about this guy who's a dispatcher, and you first run into him while he's at a hospital, and the guy's having open heart surgery, and the surgery, he's in there like they say he's in there 7 hours, and at the 7 hour mark the surgery turns bad, and he gets to do his thing where he goes and he puts a little device in their mouth, and it shoots a charge up into their brain, and then he ignites the charge. So technically he's murdering them, but they don't die because they just disappear and then wind up back at home completely, totally naked. And so it
almost gives me the feel that they're living in a video game.
Yeah, exactly. And so it doesn't fix what's wrong with them, but it gives them a chance to do a redo because it just takes them. It says that it ports them back to being like I think he said like 24 to 30 hours before.
Wow.
So they're still in the timeline, but it's
like
just
Groundhog Day mixed with.
Well, they're still in the timeline. They're still like it would be like it's 4 o'clock when they get murdered. It's still 4 o'clock when they show up at home. It's just like all the diseases and all the sickness that they have is still there. In them. It's just kind of rewound them to like 24 to 30 hours beforehand. It's really, really interesting story. Really cool, man.
Well, that sounds awesome.
But yeah, it was a really good story. I haven't got to start the Graham Hancock
book. I have. Yet. It's good.
Yeah.
I
had new guys at work this past week, and they like sticking me with a new guy, and like I feel kind of rude sitting there with my books in my ears. But I'll do it. But unfortunately, I'm also supposed to be training them and telling them what I'm doing and stuff like that and all like this good stuff. And
you can't do that.
I can't really do that.
Gotta help them out.
I do at times. I'll be like, this requires a lot of concentration. And then the new Amon Amarth album dropped yesterday. And so that was
How's it? Oh,
it's amazing. I say that about a lot of theirs. This one is really, really good. Really good, dude. Like, I'm really impressed with this album. Like, there's been the last couple, I'm all like, okay, it's got like two good songs on it, three good songs. Like, to me, the first whole, like, side A of this album is like just
really
on, dude. Like,
I've been dipping into them.
they're an acquired taste, man. Like, I don't really dig the Cookie Monster lyrics.
You mean the way they sing?
Yeah, the way he sings. But something about the melodic metal, because it really reminds me of like an old school
pan. The music, the musicality, the performances are amazing.
It is, man. The music reminds me of old school Metallica. And I tell everybody this. It reminds me, it's like a mix of old school Metallica with Sepultura, like, Max Cavalera. I think, what was his name? Max? Yeah, Max Cavalera, because it's Max and Igor. Igor's his brother. Yeah. He was a drummer. It's like Max Cavalera's style singing with old school Metallica, like I'm talking Master of Puppets and Before and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, so
it's very, very melodic, but and it's like after you really get into it, like you're like, okay, that his style of singing does kind of complement it in
the
a way.
The more I've been listening, the more I'm appreciating it, the more I'm able to understand what he's saying.
Oh yeah,
what the songs are about. And I told you a little funny story the other day. We were driving down the road, and I Actually, we picked Lila up from school and Mama was out talking to the teachers or something. And I turn it on, pick out a song, Amona Marth, and she's like, turn it up. So I turn it up and she's back there just banging her head. So if she likes something, that's usually a sign of something good.
I can dig it, man. Yeah, she's got good taste.
I'm raising her right.
Yeah, I get to go see them on Wednesday this next week. Slayer. Lamb of God, Amona Marth, and Cannibal Corpse. I don't give a crap about Cannibal Corpse. Yeah. That's on Wednesday, the 8th. So.
Well, those other bands.
Yeah. What's that?
Those other bands.
Oh, dude.
Lamb of God.
Yeah. I love Slayer. They're like one of my favorites from way back. I dig Lamb of God. I'm not a huge fan of Lamb of God, but I'll dig Lamb of God. And of course, Amona Marth. They're like probably like my favorite band right now. But anyways, if you want to get a hold of us, you can go by you can email us at gmail.com or 2btshow@gmail.com. God, I can't talk,
at gmail.com.
Yeah, 2b, the number 2, btshow@gmail.com. If you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, it's the same thing. It's the number 2, btshow. That's 2btshow. With that being said, I'm David.
I'm Michael.
2bt. Signing out.
Adios.
Bye, con Dios.
So it goes.
Dang it. I'm just like stuttering and rambling there. Beans are a wonderful fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. The more you toot, the better you feel. So eat beans with every meal. I have a belief that if the more you fart, the longer you'll live.
No!
You don't stop playing because you get old.
Yeah.
You get old because you
stop playing.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boo.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com.